Good morning, honourable members. May I declare this meeting officially open? My name is Tebo Chani. I'm the chair of the Select Committee on Appropriations, and I welcome all parties here, MC Halele from KZN, and I'm advised that MEC from Free State Kabate will also be joining us, and from Eastern Cape. I have received some few apologies. One apology from MEC Menshushu of Northern Cape. He's out of the country and he was due back in the country yesterday. So he is in the country, but I'm sure he only landed yesterday evening, so he could not come here. Honorable Chairperson De Beer will not be with us as he's been posted to do some party work in his province, as we know, of the by-elections taking place there, the elections today and tomorrow. we'll see tomorrow evening. We have also received an apology from Honorable Mashile, who is sick, and Honorable Bloom. He will only be arriving later this morning. So, Honorable Members, we also apologize for convening this meeting earlier than we usually have our meetings. The reason being that this meeting would be scheduled to run until 11 o'clock. There are some other arrangements that might require a number of our members not to be in the meeting beyond 11 o'clock. So that is the reason why we requested permission to start a little bit earlier. So in nutshell, we've got three provinces that will be listening to today. It's hearings on the third and fourth quarter of the financial year 2012-13 expenditure on Ilimao Letsema project grant. Without any waste of time, I would quickly just make a round of introductions so that you know who's here and who's not here. And I'll start with Honorable Members, the site, and we'll move. You are welcome, Honorable Kabatia. Thank you. You may sit next to your colleague, it's fine. Thank you. We can start with you, Honorable Joseph.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning, everybody. My name is Dennis Joseph, member of this committee. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Mafemani Makwela, a member of this committee. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Al Steve, KZN.
Good morning, it's Emmanuel Pillay from National Treasury, Intergovernmental Relations.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Chris Adams from National Treasury, Intergovernmental Relations.
Good morning. My name is Samiki Kabate, MEC for Agriculture and Rural Development in the Free State.
Good morning. I'm Misha Khatebe, MEC for Agriculture and Environmental Affairs, KZN. Yes.
Good morning. I'm Harry Strauss. I'm acting head of department for the Department of Agriculture and Environmental Affairs, KZN.
Good morning. Eckhard Haberman, acting CFO for Department of Agriculture and Environmental Affairs, KwaZulu-Natal.
Good morning. I'm Peter Tabete, HOD for Agriculture and Rural Development, Free State.
Morning. Everyone. My name is Alvin Chica. I'm coming from the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, responsible for condition grants, cash, and money. Thank you.
Morning. Mochi Mamanya. I'm coming from the Department of Agriculture, Fisheries and Forestry.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. We will now proceed straight with submission by National Treasury. got 15 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning once again. My name is Emmanuel Pele from the IGR Division of National Treasury, the Directorate Provincial Budget Analysis. Part of our responsibility is the monitoring of implementation of provincial conditional grants. I'm sure you're familiar with Mr. Cixi, and we are from the same office. Just on this grant and the performance going over the third and the fourth quarter, this is a Schedule 5 grant, specific purpose grant. So it's a quite onerous grant, and it's got specific conditions attached to it as opposed to a Schedule 4 grant. This grant actually began in 2008, and through the years, up to the past kind of financial year, it was allocated around 1.2 billion rand. And the overall goal of this grant is to reduce poverty through increased production initiatives and drive the zero hunger strategy. The purpose of this grant, as you can see on the slide, is to assist the vulnerable South African farming communities to achieve an increase in agricultural production and increase income, invest in infrastructure that unlocks agricultural production and supply government markets for agricultural products, thus releasing them from the poverty trap. Part of the outcome statements of these grants talks about increased production efficiency, that is, doing more with less production inputs. It also talks about the increase in agricultural production at both the household and the national level, improve farm incomes. It also addresses an issue of job creation, like maximize job opportunities, and to reduce poverty. As you're aware, the rising food prices in South Africa has been a continuous trend, so it also assists in household coping with the escalating food prices in South Africa. So in terms of the outputs of the grant, these are the outputs that the National Department reports on behalf of the provinces in terms of what the provinces actually do with this money. Part of the outputs are the planting of land, planting of maize, for example, that's measured in hectares, the supporting of beneficiaries with production inputs, establishment of new infrastructure, rehabilitating of and expanding irrigation schemes is a big part of this grant, and production within the agricultural corridors, for example, maize. At the end of December 2012, the spending was lagged somewhat at 51.9% of what the total allocation was. Now, normally at the end of the third quarter, we expect provinces, with the exception of big infrastructure grants, to be around 75% of the allocation spent. So you'll see that it's actually lagging at around 51.9% for the third quarter. Now, a big part of this grant is the planting of maize, and that's one of the big outputs. Ideally, it will be provinces plant maize in the third quarter of the financial year. Now, for some reason, which I'll explain in the next slide, a lot of the provinces missed the target. They actually planted it in the fourth quarter. So you see the expenditure filtering through in the fourth quarter as opposed to the third quarter. In terms of the spending, we see that Eastern Cape, Free State, KwaZulu-Natal, and Northern Cape are all spending below 40%. Of the allocation at the end of December. Free State is the only one projecting to underspend at the end of the financial year, while Eastern Cape projects minor over-expenditure over there. On the year-on-year expenditure, on the last column on the right, you notice that overall, provinces spend 7.5% less than what they spent in December 2011. As I explained, the major reason for that is that the expenditure filtered into the fourth quarter. So when I go to the next slide, I'll explain that. But the provinces with the biggest drops, again, was Free State and KwaZulu-Natal, while we had Northern Cape also dropping, but North West increasing quite substantially there, 242%. Okay. We go to the next slide. Excuse me. Now, as of 31st of March 2012, that's the end of the financial year, these are preliminary numbers that came through from provinces, and published as per Section 32 of the BFMA, you will see that the expenditure increased somewhat to 90.9%. So we're looking at about 40 percentage points increase from the third to the fourth quarter. see that KwaZulu-Natal spends allocation as well as Mpumalanga and Western Cape, while the other provinces lag somewhat behind. Northwest spent almost the entire allocation, which is just 200,000 rand expenditure. On the year-on-year growth, a marginal increase at 2.8%, the provinces actually spent 2.8% more at 31st March 2013 as opposed to the 31st March 2012. Now, if you look at the provinces in terms of underspending and the performance, the four provinces that were highlighted today as our agenda, Eastern Cape, for example, only spent 88.4% of the budget with a underspending of 5.089 million. Now, the primary reason for the underexpenditure is the late delivery of production inputs to the end users. The department and the end users also experienced a lot of breakages in terms of the tractors and the production implements that were used in the production processes. And these machines were not fixed regularly or on time, and this also delayed the expenditure in terms of the planting there. In addition, we have been informed that some of these tractors are actually not licensed, don't have number plates, and yet they operate on main roads, and they have been given warnings by the Metro Police as well in this province. Now, because of the delivery of the production inputs, the province could actually not begin the planting in the third quarter of the financial year, so it actually came through in the end of the financial year. Provinces normally plant on the third quarter because this is the period when we receive the highest rainfall in provinces, and the soil moisture is enough for the seedlings to basically germinate. So that's why provinces normally plant on the third quarter. But in the case of Eastern Cape, it was not the case because of the delays they experienced with the production inputs being delayed. If you look at Free State next, now Free State, as I'll explain when I conclude, there's an overall issue of unsound planning when it comes to the delivery on this grant, and it cuts across most of the provinces, as I will highlight later. Because of this, in the Free State, for example, we picked up in the quarterly reports that they've appointed implementing agents late. So as a result, the expenditure was delayed and the planting as well was delayed on this one. Now, obviously, the department needs to ensure that the implementing agents are appointed on time, they plan for soundly, appointed on time, and then they are monitored according to their contract, and they monitor for performance. In terms of Gauteng, I think Gauteng is not on the list of on the agenda, but you see the expenditure is quite significant there, at the under expenditure at least, at 11 million. And the primary reason again here relates or is a symptom of unsound planning. A large part of the deliveries in Gauteng could actually not be done, or not done on time, because the size of the trucks that were contracted to deliver production inputs was actually not suitable. It resulted in under delivery and late delivery of production inputs to the end users. Now, obviously, this is a clear symptom of unsound planning, because if the planning was carried out correctly, then at least the correct trucks or the trucks with the correct carrying capacity should have been contracted to deliver these production inputs. I also have something on Limpopo. Although the expenditure is just 3.7, under expenditure is just 3.7 million. The issue here is again the late delivery of production inputs, in particular fertilizer. Now there were some issues with the service provider in terms of the price, the agreed price in terms of what should be delivered in terms of fertilizer. But again, the department, because it had some blockages in supply chain management, was not able to resolve the price queries in time, and then we had the days of fertilizer coming through. And obviously, the accompanying expenditure was not put in through the system there. In terms of KZN, I think it's on the list here. They had a problem in the third quarter in terms of the irrigation systems. They the design of the irrigation systems in particular was not able to be done in the third quarter. But if you look on the fourth quarter, you'll see that the expenditure was where actually went through to four. So the difficulties they had with the irrigation systems in the third quarter was actually filtered through, but were actually sorted out, and in the fourth quarter they actually delivered on this irrigation system there. The other big expenditure underperforming development is the Northern Cape, which underspent by around 22%, 14 million. The chief reason here was that the department had lost some capacity during the financial year. Because of this, we were not able to basically manage the contractors that were carrying out the work on them. So we had, because of that, we had poor performance on the part of the contractors. There were also some issues around the FEM and the plan schedules not being followed appropriately. So in Limpopo, in Northern Gate's instance, what we suggest is, first of all, the lost capacity that they have lost during the financial year be replaced as soon as possible, and also the contracts that they have with contractors need to be managed more carefully. If you go to the concluding slide, which speaks about the challenges, as I mentioned earlier, sound planning is lacking in most of the provincial departments, and it's a root cause of the many of the problems that many of the departments are experiencing. So departments are tending to be reactive rather than proactive in terms of planning ahead. What I think departments need to consider in their business plans or their planning is an element of risk management. If they had incorporated risk management in this, they would have at least provided some mitigation in terms of delayed delivery or something like that. Some sort of measures could have been put in place to ensure that if there was a delivery, how do they circumvent that? So I think risk management is a very important part of the planning process that departments need to consider going forward. Okay. Supply chain management processes. Now this affected the Northern Cape as well as I think Limpopo, where they had issues around supply chain management processes. This has been an issue with other grants as well. And obviously, the departments need to look at unlocking whatever is causing the slow processes to unfold, whether it's capacity or just an issue of the process being cumbersome or whatever it is. Departments would seriously need to look at what is actually causing supply chain management processes to fail and to be delayed in there. And this was obviously the cause of late delivery of inputs and other issues that caused expenditure and performance to be compromised in provinces. Limpopo, Gauteng, and Eastern Cape are examples of this. The late delivery of inputs results in many farmers deciding not to plant as the window for crops has passed. Now, as I mentioned, the window normally for the planting of maize is in the third quarter. If this passes, farmers can plant, but the problem is they're not guaranteed the same yield as they would have gotten if they had planted in the third quarter. So the crop might be a poorer quality of crop, basically. So that's another issue to consider. Poor performance of contractors and lost capacity in the departments. This is an example in the Northern Cape. But the performance of contractors, I think, also applies to other provinces. You see, poor contractor performance is not a one-sided issue. It's also the provincial department needs to play a part here. Because they appoint the contractors, they have a contract with the contractors, they should have a service-level agreement with the contractors. So they need to enforce the conditions of what is in the contracts or in service-level agreements to ensure that contractors perform as to the required standard and that they perform and deliver on time. Contractors left to their own devices have a natural tendency to underperform. So then they must be, the performance must be managed by the departments. Poor monitoring of service providers, again, this point links to the one at the top. It leads to services not being delivered on time and to the required standard. Now, one of the issues we picked up in the quarterly reports is that the performance information or the performance report that we get at National Treasury still has some gaps that needs to be addressed. If you look at the report, you'd notice that while we have delivery, actual delivery, it's very difficult to see what the target is. You can see the target for the whole year, but what is the target for the quarter? So if we have some clarity in terms of what the target was for the quarter, then we will be able to gauge what the actual performance was. So this is the issue that we need to look at, or we would address with the national department going forward. In some instances, we have targets omitted. In some instances, we have departments not reporting regularly. So we have 7 provinces, for example, reporting in the third quarter, and then 2 provinces report late or they don't even report. So those are the issues that needs to be addressed in terms of the performance issues. Now, National Treasury engages with national departments on a quarterly basis after we receive the quarterly performance reporting. So so as part of our ongoing monitoring of performance of conditional grants, we will address this issue with the national department and we'll try to work together to improve the performance information so that we can gauge what the performance actually was, diagnose problems accurately, and then give appropriate advice to improve performance. That's all I have. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, sir. Honourable members, I will take first the inputs from the national department, and then thereafter we can take questions for clarity from members. Let me welcome Honourable Namela in our midst. You are welcome, Honourable Namela, from KZN. National Department, can we get your inputs on the subject matter?
Thank you, Chair. I think the report that has been shared by our colleagues from National Treasury is actually spot on.
Sorry, ma'am, do you have any copies of whatever you want to share with us? Or?
No, sir. We were not asked to make any presentation. We just received an invite that went to the NIMC.
Okay.
We did not prepare any presentation.
But okay.
It would have touched on what has been shared because the report that our colleagues have shared is from the report that we have submitted to National Treasury. I just wanted to make comments to say that the issues, particularly in terms of the challenges that have been raised, is actually spot on. And we address these issues on a continuous basis with provinces. We are having quarter review meetings every time after reporting. And indeed, we have identified that information could actually be delivered better and reporting could improve, and this would be the issues that we engage with the provinces on a regular basis. But as far as we are concerned, I think the focus is on the framework as it has been presented, and we don't have any other issues besides what has been raised. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm just slightly worried by the National Department because, as the presenter was saying, she spot on all the challenges and the meeting being arranged. What that meeting? What are you doing while in that meeting? Is there anything which you can say we have done 1, 2, 3 in order to improve the situation? Something like workshops has been arranged. Is there anything like that? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I just would like to thank Mr. Pillay for the presentation, but I would like to just get more clarity on a statement he made about unsound planning. And then at the end he speaks about under challenges early and sound planning is lacking. So I just wanted to look at the terminology you are using. On the one side, you may perhaps do not want to phrase it so negative, because you use a positive word, which is sound planning, lacking, and upfront you say there's unsound planning, so I'd just like you to, I mean, for me, there's either planning, there's poor planning, or there's no planning, you know, that's the way I would understand, even if you fail to plan, you plan to fail, you know, those kind of terminology that I have when I look at planning. Then I would like to know if this responsibility is part of the MEC scorecard. I don't know if you can answer me on that. And if that is discussed at NAMAC, for example, if it's discussed there, and particularly Gauteng and Northern Cape, what is the biggest reports after that discussions, as my member asked, what happens afterwards with workshops or meetings at that level? Why is there no progress? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Emmanuel. National Department. You talk about performance, and so from National Treasury point of view, I assume that you're talking about financial performance. Do you monitor at all the on-the-ground performance, or is that left to the Department of Agriculture to look at? Am I right in assuming that this grant is supposed to improve agriculture in a sustainable way, or is it simply an annual grant just to feed people? In other words, once people have received this money, are they, when do they get left to stand on their own feet, or is it just an annual thing? And does National Treasury monitor the applications for the grant? In other words, that it is in fact broadening rather than simply just repeating the same thing year after year. So beneficiary A gets a grant to plant maize this year, and next year gets the same grant, and the year after gets the grant. There's no sustainability in it. The same question really goes to you in the National Agriculture. How do you monitor how that money is being spent? And we sit here and we say, well done, you spent 100%, but perhaps it's wasted. So to me, that's more important than the actual spend amount. But for National Treasury, obviously, and for us on this committee, we look at amount spent. You talked a lot about contractors. What do contractors do in this whole thing? Are we talking about guys who plow our land or provide mentoring services? What do these contractors do? Because if I was a contractor, I'd make jolly sure I delivered to get paid my money. I mean, that's what I'm there for, to as a business. So I'm surprised that contractors don't perform.
Hello? Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of the planning issues, you're right. In terms of the last slide, I tried to put a positive spin on it. I tried to give the department basically to make some recommendations in terms of how they can improve their planning. Unsound planning is basically poor planning. It doesn't take a holistic approach into looking at what needs to be delivered at what time and which place. So a key element of that, as I said, is risk management. And if your risk management is not in there, then obviously you're going to have problems where you're not going to foresee. You obviously can't foresee each eventuality, but then taking the agricultural sector into account, you should have a basic idea of what can go wrong. So that's an element of sound planning. It's basically planning that's holistic and takes into account a lot of elements of what can go wrong, and especially risk management in there. In terms of the MEC scorecard, I'm not sure of that. Maybe the National Department can give some input over there on that one. Performance information, you correct, National Treasury does look at financial performance, but we also look at non-financial performance. Now, if you look at the last point I made in terms of performance information, needs to be improved. We have information coming through on our quarterly reports. For example, the number of beneficiaries supported. But the problem we have with it is we don't know how to gauge whether it's performance or not, or poor performance or good performance, because the target, for example, we're missing on it. So we just got a target of saying 20,000 farmers were supported in KZN, Eastern Cape. Now, we don't know, and that's an issue that we highlighted with the National Department, and the National Department will need to take it to the province to ensure that when they're reporting, they report against the target. Because if you look at the grant framework, there's outputs against it. And each output needs to have a target, because if you look further down the framework, there's actually service delivery performance information from the previous year, which has numbers attached to it. So we have a baseline with which to work. So it's an issue that we highlighted with the National Department, and we're going to we're going to endeavor to improve it. With other grants, for example, like school nutrition, we have good information, where we have actual performance as well as target information. So we can gauge, we can sort of make a linkage between what was spent and what was delivered on the ground. If there's any discrepancies, then we can ask for a question in terms of it. So National Treasury does have an interest in the financial information. It's just that the information we have at our disposal at current presently needs to be refined, needs to be reworked for us to really make a thorough analysis of that. In terms of the sustainability of the grant, as far as I'm aware, the grant is not a grant that you basically give to each person each year. It talks about sustainability. It talks about when farmers are given production implements to, for example, plow land, they're given a truck or seeds or whatever. Obviously, the responsibility needs to fall with the farmer. It's, for example, in the Eastern Cape, the tractors were not repaired on time. Now, this responsibility needs to come back to the farmer, because the National Department obviously will provide the inputs, but sustainability also falls on the end users' part as well, because they would need to take the process forward. In terms of contractors, the contractors, as far as we are aware, they are responsible for the delivery of production inputs, fertilizer, and seedlings, and all the other information. Now, you're right, if I was a contractor, I would also want to get do my job and get paid. But there's various blockages in the system. There's the SEM blockages that need to be taken into account. There's also issues of the poor planning, which results in further problems down the road that needs to be addressed. Now, if you look at the expenditure, the under expenditure there, although the province is underspent at the end of the financial year, if you really look at for example, Northern Cape, although they underspend the amount, the money is actually committed at the end of the financial year. So it's not like the funds are going to revert back to the National Treasury automatically. It's only when the funds are not committed to identifiable projects that the money reverts to the National Revenue Fund. So although there's under expenditure currently, it doesn't necessarily mean that the services were not delivered fully in time. It could just mean that the invoices were not paid on time, something like that. So we have in our offices at the moment commitments from these provinces stating that these monies are actually committed, and we have invoices and orders reflecting this.
National Department. I think you should also talk more on the non-financial performance and your monitoring mechanism on the ground. That's one better treasurer could not tell.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to respond to the questions that were raised, and I'm sure I'll be capturing what has been asked and responded to the National Treasury. When we meet with provincial departments, the question was that what do we do with the department? Depending on the challenges that we pick up, we have discussions, we do explanatory presentations on what is expected of them. And if you look at the type of challenges that the provinces are faced with, it would be a challenge of capacity. It would be impressed upon by the department to make sure that they have adequate capacity. They need to unblock any blockages within their supply chain management to action their implementation as planned. And if it has to do with issues like targets, like understanding of the layout of targets, the business planning, we provide templates, we explain how these targets should be packed out and put down. One of the key issues, of course, is that the targets that we have already put there were annual targets. I take that point. And there are some indicators where there is a quota target. Others, like smallholders, support it. We find out that in the output, outcome 7, it said that we need to reach at least 15,000. And if you look at the performances by provinces, that 15,000 is too small. We do it beyond what has already been set down. So the target from the outcome was actually a very low target. It creates a problem to make it on a quarterly basis, because then you would push it through the end of the year. But the point is taken. I think that is something we need to correct and highlight, that from the beginning we are definitely going to exceed that target, could put that annual target as a quota target, because from my observation in terms of the farmers that are being supported, that target is always exceeded. And yes, the program is part of a standard item on MINMEC, and one would believe that it's a standard item within the NECs and provinces. So these discussions also take place at the level of the minister with NECs, and every time it is impressed upon provinces to really adhere to their plans and improve. I must also raise here to say, in some provinces, what has been agreed as the original business plan gets reviewed and changed. And when you do that in the middle of the year, when you're supposed to be implementing, that then delays the actual implementation, because when those changes happen, they need to correspond with us as a national department and ask for patience. So that already takes the planning backwards, and also the implementation will happen late, because the supply chain processes will only happen once the approval has been made, and it would be in the year, not before the beginning of the financial year, as would have been the case if the business plan were not changed. But these are some of the issues that are discussed with provinces, and we request that they improve on them. We keep on emphasizing the issue of waste management, and to some extent, I think, as departments, we really have not yet mastered the succession planning, because if you look at the issue within the Northern Cape, they couldn't attract enough skill in terms of engineering, and the only skill that the department dependent on in terms of the revitalization of the irrigation scheme was the only skill they lost. And it was also an unplanned loss, because the person just died, through a heart attack. No one really expected that kind of an eventuality. It was really tough for the province, but I think that process also indicated to all of us that there are no certainties. You really need to have a succession plan. You need to plan for risk, any kind of risk. Ilimalizima as a grant addresses poverty alleviation, and it increases food production. And if you look at the type of beneficiaries within the grant, you find out that we focus on subsistence, which would be your household. We focus on smallholders as well as commercial, from previously disadvantaged farmers. Now, your smallholder and commercial farmers would be the ones that you would provide support to give them their kickstart and ensure that their businesses will be sustainable moving forward. So such kind of people you would probably support once or twice, and they are on their way, production is happening, jobs are created within their farms and so on. Your subsistence, which includes your household, would be the beneficiaries are those from vulnerable communities. So the likelihood of continuous support in terms of production inputs until such time that they have created enough reservoir in terms of seeds, they have managed to produce more to be able to sell some of their foodstuff, is that you would most likely be supporting the same vulnerable communities with the production inputs. But the program to also create sustainability within that kind of category of our farmers and our people is that the production input goes with training on how to farm, how to produce your own seed and so on. So hoping that even if you do not bring, they would have saved enough, they would have produced the seed themselves from the produce that they would have created. So everything going well, the ones that are supported should actually show some level of improvement in terms of their food production moving forward. So there are three categories of farmers that are being supported with a conditional grant on Imalisimo. How do we monitor the performance? As I said, we have got a review meeting with provinces. We have meetings through MINMEC with the minister. And we do have teams of DAF employees who are based in provinces, and they are sole responsibility to monitor the performance of conditional grants. We give them the project plans of provinces, and they need to do verification visits on a continuous basis. Their reports come through, and on an ad hoc basis from our side, as well as some management of the DEXCO, we then do go on or unplanned visits to provinces. So that's basically what we do at this point in terms of monitoring the performance on the ground. And of course, the program on a continuous basis after the report has been generated, we hold the GOTA review performance meetings with provinces. And as I said, we had one event today, tomorrow, and on Wednesday. I'm actually here, a team are meeting in KwaZulu-Natal to do the GOTA review meeting. And when we do that, the rest of the country go to two or three projects within that province, so that it becomes also a learning for some other projects and provinces, as well as province that is hosting the GOTA review meeting. And I think on the issue of what contractors do, provinces can actually explain better what really happens when contractors are not performing, because that always it's something that is difficult for us to understand. But in most instances, it also looks at the drive of the government in supporting upcoming contractors. In most instances, their poor performance is due to their lack of capacity. And if supply chain management processes or the department is not going to advance some funds for these upcoming contractors, some of them do not necessarily have enough money to bring in the kind of input they need to do their job, and the type of jobs that they would do if revitalization of schemes would be clearing up tunnels and so on. If it's about provision of inputs, it would be getting those inputs and delivering them to the beneficiaries. I hope that answers the questions that have been
I don't think you answered us, but I would. Okay. Because what we wanted to hear from yourself, for an example, let's take an issue of this unsound planning. Our understanding is that all these plans right before time get sent to you and you approve them. And then later you came now this way unsound. We would have thought that the problem is poor implementations of these good plans. But now the problem seems to be with plans themselves. They are unsound and you have approved them. That's the area that you need to talk more about. But also coming to the monitoring part of it. You say you've got teams down there in the provinces, and sometimes you do at your level, do spot checks. I'm interested to know what is your findings and whether you are sure that your teams at the level of provinces do actually visit this project and give you certain information. Because in most instances, I can tell you, they just sit in offices and generate reports without verifying these things. And where you have done your spot checks, would you mind to share with us as to which provinces you visited, which projects, and what were your findings? But you can carefully think on the other responses, and I'll give you an opportunity after I've taken provinces, because we're trying to change time with it. Honorable Abbott.
Thank you, Chair. And thanks for being given the opportunity to come here and share on the work that we are doing in the province to the committee here. Chair, I would want to agree with.
MC, would we request some copies of the presentation as a plan?
HOD.
Oh, okay. I'm told they are still designing them because it's not. Okay, our members will get them as soon. Yeah, let's proceed.
No, thanks again, Chair. I am with the HOD of the department that Peter Tarek. Chair, we have recently, in the Free State, we had separated agriculture and rural development. We have recently just incorporated them again to be one department, agriculture and rural development. I have recently been appointed as the MEC for agriculture and rural development, so I'm farm fresh. But here on the issue that we are talking about on ILMA, LIZIMA and utilization of funds and projects that have been done, I will at some stage give to the HOD to present. I'm just making an overview. On issues that the National Department and Treasury talked on, I want to also agree with a delegation from the National Department that Treasury was put on the challenges that we are having, because on issues that we presented, we have similar challenges. Appointment of implementing agents, of course, it was done at the lead stage and it impacted on our performance. Mainly also because it was for the first time that we are dealing with our projects in that kind of fashion where we are utilizing implementing agents. When the work was done by the department itself, was a new thing to us. It also took some time for it to, you know, gel in and for everybody to understand how to do this work, understand one another and work with one another. Now, over and above having to appoint implementing agents, we also dependent on the tractors that were coming from National to do most of the planting with the ILMA fund. Now, those tractors after coming to the province, 72 tractors all in all, we had to set up cooperatives and train those cooperatives on utilization of those tractors, how would they be utilized, but also on had to help them because we are to give them money to manage those tractors for your diesel, your maintenance and all that. So we had to train them on financial management and business management. So it also took some time. We also had to train the drivers of the tractors. We had to take them to a training. We had to go and look out for where are these tractors going to be placed. Is it safe places? And we had to appoint the security companies to look after those tractors. All those things are some of the things that were consuming on the time that we had expected would have started planting. So we started late in terms of planting, and of course some of the farmers then realized that the seasons were late in terms of the season and opted for not planting. Now, one other thing that we did when we realized that, we said, no, let's not just focus on planting, but there are other projects that we can focus on in terms of immolation. The HOD will report on those reports, but what I can just say is that we managed to take some farmers from a smallholder level with the money of ILMA-LIZIMA and put them at a commercial level. I can proudly report on one from Brantford, who we took from a smallholder who is a commercial, who is also even exporting the Dorpa sheep and garlic. So those are some of the things that we did, but I was just doing it as an overview. I think the HOB will go in depth into how we used the money of ILMA-LIZIMA. Maybe up front to say, Chair, we have learned our lessons. It was a lesson for us. Our mistakes was a lesson for us. So in going forward, we hope to improve on how we are doing our work. Thank you, Chair. I'll hand over to the HOB.
Thank you, Mr. Tavete. Thanks for the comprehensive report. I see you cover all these agricultural grants, but I would request that for the purpose of this meeting, you focus only on the FEMA. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The members that are here, MECs and my colleagues, good morning. Chair, I will move only report on the case of illegalism. In the report, we have also provided the part of CASP, so we have put them together so that the bigger picture is given both of them when it will be distributed. Chair, I will straight go to very quickly. This is how the grants were allocated to the Free State overall. The total amount of the grant that was given to us was 126 million all in all for all the grants, which were divided as follows. The Glen College got about 4 million, the training and mentorship 5, extension recovery plan got 25, Ilimalizima 54.6, that's the one that I'm going to focus on, and then there was also a 12 million for disaster relief. So that's how the total grants were allocated. And then in the next column, it was the total expenditure of this grant that we had received. And I'm very proud to say that we eventually achieved to spend all the grant of Ilimalizima in the province. I must also explain that the figures that were given to both national and treasury were preliminary figures, because as we ended the year, they want us to transmit the figures immediately to them. And when we then balance our books, we then balance them off in terms of some of the miscellaneous allocations were properly allocated, and we then managed to spend the entire grant of the Ilimalizim. The only one which were a bit shortfall was actually the extension recovery plan, but otherwise we had spent within the 2% deviation expected. In terms of the project performance, in terms of Ilimalizima, as I have indicated, we have spent 99.9% of the budget, which amounted to 54,530,000 actually. So that translated to 99.9%. And then in terms of the expenditure trend, in terms of Ilimalizima, we put it in a graphical presentation to show since 2008 when we received the grant how we have been faring. We are compatible with the way we have been dealing with it. We are getting there. I think we are winning now in terms of that. We are not currently at the huge under expenditure that we used to have in the previous years. We have now begin to level up, to be saying these are the things that needs to be done on time, and this is what we need to put ahead of time for us to be able to deliver and spend the service on the ground, because our emphasis is not only on the spending, but it's on the delivery. Are we sure that we are delivering a service to the farmer at the end of the day? And we must be also very proud to take you to that project where we have spent the money. So those are the things that we are balancing off, and currently we are very proud. In any of the projects that we have spent the money, we are able to take anybody to say this is where the money has been spent. And we are actually asking each farmer to sign off to us a certificate in terms of the happy, we call it the happy letter. If the farmer is not happy, he refuses to sign the happy letter. If the farmer is happy, he signs the off letter. And we file these happy letters also for confirmation purposes, that the money was indeed spent with the farmer. In terms of the beneficiaries that we have supported, we have targeted 7,014 beneficiaries in terms of Ilimalizima. We managed to support 652, given the reasons that during the year we started late, and some of the farmers, especially those that wanted to plant maize. Free State is a very short seasoned in terms of maize. Once you miss your deadline for maize, you don't make it. Then what then happened? We increased the number of beans because beans can be delayed, both sugar beans and soya beans. You can delay the planting. Therefore, we increase the number of hectares of the beans versus those that wanted to plant maize. That's where then we then managed to achieve full implementation. But the numbers, we could not achieve the actual numbers that we wanted to plant. So we have divided those in terms of how many were adults, how many were youth, and how many were disabled people, and we are comfortable with the spread of all these groups that we have made. In each category, we've given how many were male, how many were female, in terms of the people which we have supported. Chair, we also broken down in terms of farmer categories. The first group that we call subsistence farmers, those are the mostly your household gardens that we have supported, and also schools and churches to a certain extent that we're supporting in terms of hectare. So the subsistence, 282 people, those were gardens, backyards, and so on small hectares. We covered about 23 hectares all in all. And then smallholder, we supported 190, which we planted 1,348 hectares. And then we also managed to assist a group of about 10, which we're very proud of, that they have now graduated to commercial farming. And then we planted 270 hectares. So that those are the hectares that we have planted in the province in terms of the Ilimalisima grant. Number of jobs created within this one, in terms of employees, we have, you will see that this grant is actually for acquiring production inputs mostly. That's why it doesn't create a lot of permanent jobs. In their nature, these jobs of this grant are temporary. So you see the majority of those that we've indicated are temporary in nature, and we had a total of about 139 jobs that we've created all in all in the implementation of the grant. In terms of food security programs, we have a program in the province called Mukumamobung. In terms of the households that we have managed to reach, is 3,389. We've been saying so that's why we managed to reach so many households, make sure that they plow and plant within their yards using the grant. And we've also managed to reach about 51 schools that we have assisted plow and plant using money from this grant. Chair, very quickly, I'm not going to present that. I think I have covered, but we will be able to show exactly where the money has been spent, and we are very grateful to say we have achieved what we wanted to achieve, though we started late. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Miss is going out. Okay. Let me take questions in the meantime. I wanted to take KZN, but I see Miss Khatev is gone out quick. Okay. Any questions? I remember. Are these pictures related to this? Now, these are 2008 pictures.
No, it's the camera date.
How do I know the camera date? I see what is here. It's 2008 picture. And in 2013, I mean... You can't tell us this camera. You saw it before you came there. You're supposed to have corrected. Anyway, let's take questions on members, if there are any questions. I would also want you, Mr. Tabate, to explain to us this Mohomamobung thing. How do you have these households? Do you give them seeds and whatever, or what actually happened? Or do you give them funds to do that, and how do you monitor this? The implementations thereof. The in Friede sports field, there is a lot of new trackers there and some plough machines. They've been there for almost a year now. And I'm sure National Department is also aware of this thing I'm talking about, because it was raised by the committee in the National Assembly as well, and to date those tractors remain standing there, anything. And the grass is growing now. If somebody can bend that grass, all those tractors are gone. And people can begin to start stripping. Can you explain what are those tractors and machines meant for, and why are they still standing there? after so many months. I'm sure it's more than a year now. Because it's one of the expenses. It could have been out of an account or this one, I don't know. But specifically free at the sports field in Free State. And then national, much of the province will respond because you are aware of this matter. I'm sure you will also comment on it. Honourable members, honourable is.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, I asked the question about the finance and the actual performance and how we measure it. Free State are telling us that they use this grant to service 1,641 hectares. So they spend the whole grant, $54.6 million. So they spend R33,272 on each hectare. Now that's wasteful expenditure. There's no, even the top-class commercial farmer doesn't spend that kind of money on a hectare of grant. There's something wrong with these things. If it's capital, if it's to pay for tractors which are then going to be spread over 100 years, then the question needs to be asked, why do we buy the tractors if they don't get used? I'm not sure that we're getting a full picture here. And the MEC tells us about co-ops and training. 72 tractors will probably cost you in the region of 50 million rand. So it's obviously perhaps cost being brought into this one as well. When you talk about smallholder farmers becoming commercial, smallholder farmers are actually commercial. I think we must be cautious. If I were a smallholder farmer, I'd be really quite upset if you told me I wasn't a commercial farmer. Because smallholder guys produce more than they can consume themselves, and they sell. Therefore, they are commercial farmers. I don't know how you differentiate between what is a commercial farmer. Do you have to actually become a millionaire to become a commercial farmer? Well, I would argue that the definition is all cockeyed. So to my mind, you've got subsistence and commercial. There's only two categories. Smallholder cannot be some strange category unless you can define it for me. And national, probably is a definition at national level. Now, tell me about these co-ops. What exactly is the purpose of the co-ops? Do they control areas of land? Do they control the tractor? Because the NEC told us that the tractors couldn't be used until co-ops were set up and drivers were trained. So who are the members of these co-ops? And who actually controls the tractor? Is it the driver, or is it the committee, or is it the chair of the committee? Who decides on where the tractor is going to be used, when it's going to be used? Do they draw names out of a hat as to whose land gets plowed first or cultivated first? I ask these questions about co-ops because in the history of this planet, primary co-ops have not worked. Whether in the USSR, whether in Tanzania, whether in Cuba, they have not worked. And all those places have tried to implement co-ops of this nature. I'm not talking about other kind, but agricultural co-ops have reverted to entrepreneurial pieces of ground allocated to each person. So that's why I'm curious about setting up co-ops. Are they for primary production? Are they to control the tractors? What is their purpose? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. And if you could also clarify which the exact expenditure amount. Is it 100%? Is it 90%? Is it 99.9%? Because you confirmed all three as correct, so I'm not sure which one is the correct one. You may respond, sir.
Before maybe he speaks, can I talk on this thing of the difference between commercial, smallholder, and subsistence, because I'm the one who talked on it, in terms of how we categorize the farmers. Should I? Okay, thanks. I think by now, we all know that, particularly with your previously disadvantaged communities. There are farmers who go into farming, mainly because they are now retiring and they want a farm to go and relax and sustain themselves. We also have farmers who does farming, not necessarily want to be business people, but they like it, they grew in a farm. You then have some who are in for business. The first category is one that we call a subsistence in terms of our own categorization. Then you have other farmers who would go into farming, who want to be business people, but you find that they actually are not part of the bigger part of the market. Those are the ones that we call a smallholder. We have one that we have reported all year, whom we have helped to have livestock, but the farmer does not have a formal market. It is now that we are beginning to help him to talk to your mortuaries or your burial service providers to say, can he have a contract with them and sell to them on Fridays? So those are the ones to us that are, you know, still small, still crawling, not doing much, struggling within the industry. Then to us, commercial, are those whom we see of have, or have helped to be in a formal commercial industry, trading with your bigger industries. That's how we categorize them.
Then I know the middle.
Let me see. We're talking development of people in the industry of agriculture. And if that be really addressing development, right at the planning stage, before you can actually say, I've got 20 farmers, irrespective of categorization. The market issue is very crucial. And that is why even when we move around, you go to a country like Malawi right now, they are the best farmers, agricultural farmers. But because the market planning is nil, most of the food end up being spoiled. So I'm a bit concerned because you can't just start a project unless you've actually gone through all the different levels right up to the marketing, which is very crucial. It's waste of money and waste of skills if we don't also prioritize marketing to be part of the plan.
Just for my understanding as well, let me see. This example you made of people who grew up on the farm and those who go on retirement and just wish to have a farm and some few livestock with no intention of venturing in any commercial business. You say you treat them like in a situation of one family, one garden.
There are some of them that we have that have been helped to access land through land affairs. Now, we can't let them to sit with a land unutilized. And remember that you'll find that it's a group of people. Amongst them, they differ in terms of what they want to achieve. You'll find that amongst them, you have one or two who would want to achieve a higher result. You have others who, when land was given, because people were just grouped, some are not even interested, they are sitting at home, they wait for at that time of crop and want to benefit. So there are, you know, it's complex what we are dealing with within the farming community. And I hear what Mama Nanela is saying in terms of the market. But the fact of the matter is that it is a challenge to get a market. And unfortunately,
with the history of our country, it is still a challenge that our farmers should get the best benefit when they take their product to your big commercial markets. I want to make an example of what I'm talking about. You have a Bloemfontein abattoir in the Free State, where when the farmers are saying there are different prices for a white farmer and a black farmer. So they choose not to take their livestock to the Bloemfontein abattoir because they lose. They then go to your informal market and sell on Fridays to the funerals and the parties and the weddings and all those things. You have the auctions that are there in the province where farmers are complaining that there is a cabal. There is a price for a black farmer. There is a price for a white farmer. And we have had meetings with the five white farmers to say, can you desist from this things that you are doing? Because what we want to do is to hold hands and build the sector. So I'm just saying, okay, there is a complex of issues that, and I don't think it is the Free State province only, that provinces are dealing with on the ground floor.
Well,
I need a comrade. I was talking broadly also, not picking up on the first side, because it is a concern. Yes, even when it comes to the other tools, we are still trying to say to our MSCs of agriculture, check thoroughly. Is it, because even with cattle, they differ. So what the yardstick is used to measure Mkumbi's head of cattle vis-a-vis Chinese head of cattle? Is it the quality? Is it something else? So those are other areas of interest, and areas that we should actually be working on, you know, diligently, so that we bridge the gap.
Sim, thank you. In a sense, the MEC has kind of illustrated my concerns about crops, because that's exactly what happens. You have some people who sit and do nothing, and they want to benefit from the end products, and so they're a disaster. Chairman, I'm also somewhat disappointed that the MEC has chosen to racialize this. I come from a commercial background, farmer background, and let me tell you, Mr. Chairman, that I don't know of any of the commercial farmers in our district, which is Ladysmith, Mnambithi, who sell directly to an abattoir. The way it works, including in the Free State, is that there are auction sales once or twice a week. Commercial farmers of all races enter their livestock for sale. Commercial purchasers, be they feedlotters or suppliers or people, agents from the abattoirs, bid on the cattle, no matter whose cattle they are, and you either accept the price or you reject the price. On many occasions, I've taken cattle away from the auction because I'm not prepared to sell at the price that is being offered. And let me tell you, Mr. Chairman, that one of the issues on auctions is that there are rings. Purchasers get together and they agree on the prices they're prepared to pay, particularly your large feedlotters, and they say that's the price and none of us will bid more than that, and they actually divide up the lots and say, you have that lot, I'll have that lot. This is not a racial issue, Mr. Chairman. I think the Honourable Mamela has indeed hit it on the head. What the Department of Agriculture should be doing is ensuring that the quality of the livestock on offer is top class. Because when you're a commercial buyer of livestock, you look at the animal. Now, let me give you an example, Mr. Chairman. And it might, and I'm not being chauvinistic at all, but all of us, men or women, look at each other and we assess each other, both physically and other. And a livestock buyer looks at an animal and they can assess the fat content, the size of the buttocks, the portions where they're going to make more money than others, because if you're selling certain portions of the animal, you can't get the higher price. So they look at it. So quality is key. It is not a racial issue, Mr. Chairman. It is not a racial issue. It is a quality issue and a determination to not accept, because many sellers are desperate for cash to be able to sustain their operations. And that's, again, where the department should be coming in to assist.
I think, Frisby, you have noted all the questions. I'll afford you some time to respond, and the MEC, if she still wants to make some inputs, she'll be afforded that chance. Let me take HZN now.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe I have to start to say why we are gathering here. The country is mourning for the loss of our legend, Will. So I think all of us have been touched by that. Chairperson, thanks for the opportunity. I just want to start by saying that the province of KwaZulu-Natal is in this abnormal situation where you find the acting HOD, acting CFO, but you are dealing with finalizing the interviews. And if I may start, Chairperson, I joined the department, it's almost 2 years now, where I figured out there was a lot of gaps in the department, a lot of gaps. For example, if I may go back, since 1994, this department never had an HOD to serve its full five-year term. Also, MSCs, CFOs. So you can imagine that the department has been run all along. But nevertheless, we have tried to put the department in order now. I can confidently say that the department is functioning properly. And I cannot make any excuse that because of what happened in HOT and the CFO, the department made its excuse of not performing. We do have some challenges, Chairperson, if I may start with that. There was an outbreak of rabies. We lost four of our, one of the child of Patel was 7 years old, and the old woman from different departments, the total death was four. We were able to vaccinate 600,000 dogs and other animals to fight this cat. And also there was this thing of rhino poaching, which was a priority to us as a department to make sure that we have good wildlife to prevent this poaching. For instance, on Friday and Saturday, we were having a summit on rhino poaching. There was a big march last week. I'm sure it was a newspaper on the New Age and other newspapers. And they have recruited 400 volunteers, ambassadors for rhino poaching, to educate our people around the area on rhino poaching, because these criminals as well are working with the community around them. We are local, especially within the areas where our game reserve are. And nevertheless, I think as a department, we are winning this battle. There's just been two arrests in 2 months' time, which that is why I was appealing when we were launching this anti-rhino poaching, that our justice system is not helping us. These two were caught in near Newcastle with two horns. They were out on bail for the same thing. So I think we'll need also the committee to make noise to our justice system to assist, because two things they do. They go back and do the same thing or kill the witnesses to testify in the court of law, which actually makes people be so scared to come out to say, no, I know someone is involved in rhino poaching. But you come back to the budget. I'm very pleased to say, as a department, despite all the challenges, the $63 million allocated to us were able to spend totally, 100%. And also, the challenges we have as a department in terms of planting, farming, heavy rain in the case again. Most of our dams were destroyed by we are repairing them right now to make sure that even our cattle are having something to drink. And also, the community of the area was at Okuku in Bangeni 2 years ago. We were identified from Masakane Project, the initiative of our premier. 31 households, they could not access water unless they walked 10, 15 kilometers. We assisted with George Tanks as well, and I continue to do that. Yesterday, I was allowed, as you know, that was the day of a ruling party, not to do anything except the work of the ruling party. I was refused to go to Impende just to deal with those problems. We have to they can't get water at all. Therefore, it means they go to bed without anything to eat, because they can't cook and then do anything. But I also wish to record on our commitment to the department that we continue to serve the poor of the poorest in our province.
One of the things, person, which I discovered in the joint department, there were no proper database to say how many captures we have. So how many tractors do we have as a department, where they are, and the accountability. I find that when I join the department, just a pound of a tractor will stand for 6 months because there is no service provider. But what are we doing now? We have advertised to each district there must be a service provider to make sure that when there is a pound on a tractor, within a day, the tractor must be able to go and do their work. And also the strategic allocation of the tractor, because you can't just dish that to anybody to say you can just use it and you don't know where it is today when you need to use it somewhere else. So in our local offices, also local municipalities, we gave them the responsibility to be in charge. Anybody who asks for a tractor, they must come and register their names to say, I so and so, I've got so many hectares, so I need a tractor. So then she will sign, then we employ the driver. We supply the seats. So the driver, the tractor driver is accountable to the department, avoiding the price. Because what I've discovered, you give a tractor to the community, then whoever is in charge of the tractor, you would say when you say, no, I need a tractor for my, whatever to use it for, and we say 400 rand, 600 rand, which is free. The driver is free, diesel is free, the tractor is free. So in that way, we're able to control. Now we can tell that we've got 320 tractors in our province. And we know exactly where they are. And now what we are doing, we want to make sure that each district, they are service providers. It's going to be the newspaper in a few weeks to come, asking the service provider for each district, not only to fix our tractors, also service provider to supply diesel. Because the tractor can stand 2-6 months without diesel because nobody knows, and they can't, the supply is only one, this is Gali. Say that then we've got about 10 million people. But if we've got one service provider, this is Gandhi, Northern KwaZulu-Natal, what about the people in the North South Coast, Pochettino, in other areas? So we're trying also to sort that out as a department. Lastly, I think we've created, coming to our farmers. I'm very pleased that yesterday I had a meeting with SAP providers. They were complaining to us the manual issues they are demanding because this yellow maize. At one area, I think, with Kashambaya, yeah, municipality, they are starting to hash the yellow maize. These women, they are going to make a profit of 13.5 million. Last year, they were supposed to get 87 million, and 8.7 million. But for some reason, I think with jealous from the community at night, they just destroyed the whole yellow maize, and they also cut our fence, put their cattle in there, so they lost. But this time around, so we'll be able to supply 5 tons to LAP, and they've got a standing customer for them. Two, also we are saying, we took a decision in our executive council as a government to say, Our farmers, they must not look for the market. We are the market for our farmers. We have discussed with the Social Service Minister, health, education. So whatever they are producing, us, we're going to buy the department, or make a link like SAP, not us physically buying and take it to SAP, but make a link to make sure that they've got running proper market history. So nobody will say, got so many hectares, but there's the market. So the market is organized by government. And also, there's a team of 3 MCs appointed by the Premier, MC for Health, Education, and of myself, as such, just to deal with the market of our farmers. And also, we have started an auction. The member of the Petrolo Committee that is coming to the area of Umnam should know that at Bayville, every 6 months, there's a big ocean among the community, the people. There's one that ladies me that I forgot to get it, the presence will be there. Where we're able to make our people to understand, to keep a people for 6-7 years by calling them until they lost the value, is not helping. So while you are looking at your people or your options, if it's looking, the time for thing is when you like more. Look nice, fit, fat,
That's the time to make money. So also Umsinga as well, Umsinga to under Inkosi Ngubane. We have started also to say to our people, these goats who are walking around, you can also auction them. National Minister of Rural Development was there to launch that auction. I bought for the first time we are on the goats. We are bought six. So teaching our people to say, you can't just keep goats forever. So you are only keep it for doing whatever. So you can make money. Unemployment is high. But you are sitting with millions of rand in front of you just every day. Like you are having a table, but you don't have a crowd. You don't know where they are. So you lock your door, you lock your bedroom, but you don't know your millions out there where they are. Encouraging the subject. So also the department, we are moving, is not here with me, where we can put an earring to our cattle. We sleep in the road. Once you put the lights, 100 meters will be able to see these cattle. Then to avoid the accident. Also, we are going to put something, we are working on it, a tracker from the cattle. If somebody steals your cattle, you will be able to report, like a car, to say, I'm removed from a certain kilometer. And yeah, then you can go to the police on your cell phone and say, here is my cattle. It's stolen by the cattle. Here it lives. You just go straight there and pick up the cattle. It's going to cost that in 3 years about 1 billion rand. And it's worth it. I think as a province, we are trying our level best to make sure, and this one home one garden is a priority to us. It's a premium, every time we go to, the war rooms, where we go and check exactly, in this district, I can tell you where I'm a district champion, to say how many gardens, one home, one garden in that particular district. It's my responsibility. If I fail to do that, the premier is going to jump on me. So all of us, we've got a commitment and monitoring by the premier and his team. And every second week, we meet all the district mayors, ourselves, head of department, where we report the progress in terms of each department. How can we do with your land function? So I think the question without further ado is to say, 63 million, yes, but we'll be happy if you can continue to double this amount for the next financial year, because really, as scheduled, people of KwaZulu-Natal, that is why Gauteng is ending up in more number than us in KwaZulu-Natal, because our plan is coming to apply to Johannesburg, because the very unemployment. And the one comment I was said that you cooperate with the National Treasury and also with yourself as a committee, and we are looking forward to say, the past 2 years, we're trying to put systems in place in the department. And Mumamuna Melet, unfortunately, that she's out now. She lives in KwaZulu-Natal. She's very vocal about agriculture. I don't know why, because I thought she was going to be vocal for something as the veterans. But she's very vocal on agriculture, so we are trying our level best. And also, to say a person in this meeting, I want to thank my board officials right here, the action, but the commitment to the department. Unlike somebody who says, I'm here temporarily, somebody else is going to take my job. We are here, they're committed, and they're doing their best to make sure that we do perform our duties. And also, as a province, we've got this so-called visa of the premier. We will just go, all of our services go to a district, allow people to come and say, agriculture is failing us on 1, 2, 3, 4. Health is failing us on this. Education. So it's known, like for instance today, that it's in Dambanana municipality. All MSCs are serving themselves as students. So allow people to criticize government. So that's how we assess ourselves, the performance. And we said as a province, service delivery first, then in the Diamba. These MSCs go out and ministers just say, we'll do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, then disappear. Before we go there, we must make sure there's a plan. We can't order fertilizer without knowing where it's going. You can't buy fencing without knowing where it's going to be. I was talking to other member Makubane, from KZN now. I was telling something about that as well. So we've decided as a department that before I go anywhere, our team must just go and do the coverage. When we purchase fertilizer, we hand over, we know exactly how many people are going to use that fertilizer. When we purchase friends, we know exactly how many, I was in Benjamin.
I went there knowing that the fence which we bought is going to fence 12.5 kilometers. So I'm saying we're trying to save money as a department, and as I said, we're trying to also to put our department to be like any other department, because to be frank here, this department was run like a farm. No, there were no systems in place. First person didn't know exactly how much is spent where, and who's doing what. So now we are trying by all our means to make sure that this department, it looks like Department of Health, Education, Public Works, and other departments, not just somebody who just doing its own thing without even reporting. When you ask for the report, you end up having a false report, like we've been saying to persons, because we are not trying to on. That's what we're trying to do as a province, with the support, of course, of our opinion. Then I'm sure we'll be able, whatever mistake happened in the past, we are trying by all means to make sure that this time around, we'll be able to when you come back next year to report, I'm sure our report will be better than today's report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Let me see, honorable members, may you hold on to your questions for clarity, I think. I'll take, let me see, Kapa from Eastern Cape. I hope I pronounce this anywhere.
They would say the sign I'm Kapa.
Okay.
Thank you. Good morning, honorable members in the House at large. I also join my colleague from KwaZulu-Natal to say we are very sorry that we lost one of ours, Tatumbuli, and we are sending really heartfelt sympathies to them. May his soul rest in peace. I also thank the Portfolio Committee Chair for having asked us to speak to accountability. So we are here to do exactly that. I may, maybe, I don't know whether I will falter, because my report will be a little bit narrative, though specific in terms of what we were required to present. But together with me, I have an official, a general manager, who is a line function manager for this cropping project for the entire province, Mr. Masebe. I will actually say briefly that
just one check. I thought we're supposed to make a former official make a presentation before even came, or we do it later.
Oh, I thought you
No. Sorry, we do have presentation. It's a table here to the members.
Okay, no, I relied on what you were saying, and I thought you concluded. My apologies for that.
I'm comfortable, Chair. You can take your time for now and give me another time. Thank you.
Oh, okay, thank you. Let me see. yeah, we can proceed, sir. You've got 5 minutes.
Morning, Chair, honourable members, MEC, thank you. Chair, I think we will manage it in the 10 minutes. The presentation outline, we took the cue from the invitation we got. We're going to look at the budget performance, some of our capacity constraints and challenges, our monitoring capacity, reporting mechanisms, and we're going to look at the business plan in terms of targets and achievements. Chair, in terms of the budget performance, we highlight in quarter three, schedule transfer was 25.2 million. We received the 25.2 million. Our actual expenditure was 13.5 million. Quarter four, schedule transfer 12.6. We received the 12.6, and the actual expenditure you would see there 49.4 million. In total for 2012-13 financial year, the schedule transfer of 63 million, which was our allocation, which we also received, and the 100% expenditure. The low expenditure in quarter three and high in quarter four, I just need to explain that, Chair. Firstly, we had a challenge in terms of the change in some of the allocation codes on our financial system, where our commitments and orders were then placed against voted funds rather than against the ELMA, let's say, my grant. We corrected that through processing, correcting journals, and that was all processed in quarter four, Chair, and that's why you would find that during the year our expenditure was quite low, as the National Treasury had indicated. But also is that bulk of the mechanization and food security program expenditure would be incurred in quarter 14. As much as the planting activities are scheduled for quarter 3, that's when planting happens, you often find that most of them are only completed in the latter part of November, early December. So the invoices of the service providers hit the system probably towards the end of December, and most of them are then paid in January within the 50-day period. So although the activities happen in quarter 3, the payment is a little bit later. Compared to some of the capacity constraints, as I mentioned, the challenge of the financial system. Also, there was an unseasonal high rainfall, which did cause some initial delays in implementation of projects, especially around mechanization as well as other things. There was also a change in management of our food security program, where contract manager at senior manager level ended. We managed to rectify that. We appointed senior manager, and although there were challenges, we managed to fix that during the year. In terms of our monitoring capacity, as a department, we have a monitoring and evaluation unit at the director level. This unit monitors both performances of all activities, not just the conditional grant, but also all our activities. And our line managers, in terms of district managers and regional managers, they do report quarterly on our performance against the set targets. Reporting mechanisms. As a department, we report monthly on the financial performance using the annual monitoring report, template that's designed by National Treasury. That report gets submitted both to our provincial treasury and to TAF. And then the quarterly performance report against the conditional grants, which is reported to TAF. And just to mention here, I think there was a question in the invite whether we transfer any money to a public entity or other government institution. Just to confirm, we do not. The full allocation of 63 million given to the province is then by the province through our own mechanisms. Chair, then we've got a table that was distributed. I'll just talk to the table. In terms of our deliverables, this is really an extract from the business plan. Deliverables, the first one was the revitalized Nakatini and Bluwana irrigation. The activities are listed there. We wanted to develop engineering designs, leveling irrigation canal pipes, and maintaining the water systems. The actual output is that we managed to rehabilitate the main canal at Nakatini. It was a stretch of 30 kilometers. We did engineering designs for the Bluwana irrigation scheme. Also designs for Ndumo B irrigation scheme, as well as an import store and nursery. We managed to procure and provide irrigation pipe couplings for 300 farmers in the Makatini area, as well as refurbishment of our pump stations. All that was an expenditure of 15 million. In terms of our second deliverable, really talks to the mechanization, although we're highlighting there the support for the SAB Yellow Maize project, where we had planted 5,800 hectares, supported 1,400 farmers, of which we're category as was defined as 670 subsistence, 534 smallholder, and 196 black commercial farmers. The total expenditure of 12.5 million share then means that our per hectare cost is in the region of about 2,200 rand per hectare. Food security, this is the provision of food starter packs and training. We supported the 25,000 households as was the target for our business plan, with an expenditure of 13.2 million. The earth dams for the livestock program, the provision of stock water. We managed to scoop the 33 earth dams at 8.2 million. And then equipping of our boreholes for stock water, we had 140 new boreholes equipped. And just to mention that the drilling of these boreholes was done by DAF at their expense. And then the stock handling facilities around our dipping tanks. We have established 12 new dip tanks, and 25 dip tanks were rehabilitated. Just the estimated cost per chair for a new dip tank is in the region of about 400,000. And then to rehabilitate obviously depends on the state of it, but it's at average of around about 125,000 per dip tank. That is then what we had achieved, Chair. And then just to conclude the presentation, we got some graphics on the screen. They weren't printed. It just shows some of the good work that we've done. The one in the bottom right-hand corner is one of our tunnels that was put up at our households. And then just to highlight here the liming program, the impact that the liming does have. One would find the one on the right-hand side the very poor growth is where there was no liming, high acidity, in contrast to the one in the background where obviously the soil is of the correct some of our equipment and some of our fields being worked on. This is one of our earth dams that was scooped and with the rainfall. And this is just to illustrate the construction of the dip tank. This is a new dip tank, just to realize where the 400,000 goes to. And this is also just our dip tanks. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All of members, you will reserve your questions for now. Until, let's take Eastern Cape now. This is the time now, NEC. Thank you. The official who's going to present for Eastern Cape, can you move to the computer?
I will not go back to actually making any acknowledgement in favor of the time. The Zima budget that the report that is going to be presented here in this committee is as a result of the good South African government that recognizes the poor, give budget dedicated to poverty alleviation through a program called Litsima or Ilima, which is a collective effort by all stakeholders in the province to intervene and improve the situation of poverty, hunger, and starvation. The report is focusing, Chair and Honorable Members, on the areas described by the invitation. It is as follows, but definitely sure my own part will be a little bit more narrative and more political, while technically there will be really the balls and nuts, actually the numbers that you want to hear in terms of what was prescribed to be presented here. The data on the trends in allocation and transfer that we receive budget, how have we been able to actually allocate it and how have we been transferring it to those areas. Expenditure patterns, whether overspending or understanding and the reasons thereof. What capacity constraints which might have impacted on these outcomes? If we were not able to spend, what capacity did we lack? If we really went on and finished the budget, what assisted us to do that? The last item is the brief assessment of the monitoring and evaluation of the department in 2012-2013 financial years. Whether the department received reports from the beneficiaries or municipalities and actually detailing of the spending plan for future. That is what we think we were supposed to talk about. Now I can quickly move to say the budget that we received was 38 million in order to meet those community demands and to engage in cropping 2012-2013. Then the outlines that will be shown. This led Chair and the House at large to thousands of hectares spread over the entire province. The budget was divided according to the six districts we have, the regions we have, which are also district municipalities. Your western region, which includes Ikagadu or Nelson Mandela, Sarah Batman, the new name I was struggling to remember, Ikagadu areas, which include Dabo, Sandys River, Somerset East, and then the metro and the northern areas of Port Elizabeth. That's one region. The other region is Amatole, which definitely we are sure the honorable members will be willing us to give more budget, because Amatole now are two regions. That is the area that has got Masati, Vatawese, Aidutwa, and then the other part
rural metro, if you have never heard of that, which is Buffalo City. Buffalo City has got about 20 rural areas with traditional leaders that are encompassed in that mega city. About Tabu under Chief Makinana Amandambe and Tolomna under Chief Mamupato, all those areas, Tolomna towards the sea. So that is somehow now the 8th region. If you say Nelson Mandela, Gagatu, Buffalo City, Amatol, and then you come to the former Transkei areas, your Christiani, your Dolgabi, Christiani will be areas around Queenstown and Noha, and you will see the Stag Strait, Alwal North in the Dolgabi district, and then you come to O Atambo district municipality and Alfredo district municipality. So our budget, therefore, was actually divided according to those particular areas. But we are not only geographically driven, Chair, we are also targeting hotspots where you can see that there's no other alternative. People really go to bed hungry. So it's either the size of the region, the poverty levels, as well as being very, very remote. Of course, the availability of land. I've already mentioned the regions. Then how did we actually implement the project? You will remember that in our areas, in our regions, the structural arrangement is that in a region you've got a senior manager that actually oversees the entire region. Then you have your local municipalities, which we refer as the rural development and agrarian reform as regions. But in terms of local government, these are district municipalities, is where I refer to. Then in a local municipality level, you have a controller and a coordinator of two districts in municipality. Because your municipalities will be Lusikisiki Flagstaff merged together, or Limote and Heleni merged together, or Kumbutolo merged together. And therefore, because these are two former magisterial that have been merged to be one local municipality, you really want to focus on that particular former magisterial, and then also to bring together in order to control the budget. That's why you got a local controller for each former magisterial and a coordinator for the two. So I'm actually outlining that because I want to zoom to how we have implemented the program itself using that arrangement. Teams have been established to focus on operation. These teams include the senior manager of the region, who oversees in all local municipalities forming that district municipality and will coordinate more with the district municipality. You then have the controllers and the coordinators I referred to focusing on magisterial areas. Therefore, under them, you have an LED coordinator for each district municipality and a local councillor, LED, a councillor in a local municipality. That team then in each local municipality includes in a traditional council your chief, your extension officer there, your ward councillor, and then you have your headmen and your ward committees. So that is a team. So that when you appoint a service provider to operate in an area, the local farmers, are actually handed over, whether it's our own tractors, because our tractors are no longer belonging to individuals. They belong to the department. The number of the tractors, I think the technical part will tell us,
but it's about 72 that we own. So those tractors are also divided according to these regions. Nobody can, nobody can, and so on. So what we do, our tractor, we employ our own tractor drivers. That's creating jobs. We supply diesel to our own tractors. We manage and monitor our tractors. They are actually part of Ilima, Litsima. But because of the size of the land and the demand that we are supposed to be reaching everybody, which we cannot, because we're looking at 3 million hectares in the rural areas under traditional governance and 17 million hectares in the commercial areas. And in that commercial area, you have categories of farmers, your commercial farmers, those farmers on plus, which are struggling terribly, smallholders. So that's the category of formal. And the informal is the 3 million I spoke about. So what we do then, they fall within these regions. So they have got different needs at different levels of poverty, and we just attack as it is, bearing in mind that we have to be biased more to the poorest. So when we appoint service providers, tractor owners, we also have an obligation to till the land using our tractors. Thanks to the national for giving us those tractors. They really reduced the cost for food production for Litsima. Because those tractors worked very hard. However, the only problem will be highlighted when we deal with challenges, that the service provider to maintain them was not under our control. It was controlled nationally. Because we could have wanted tractors to be fixed in the field. We would wanted diesel to be delivered in the field. We could have wanted mechanics to be there. But it was difficult and it was taking time for each tractor to be repaired or to get spare. So that was a little bit of a nightmare. We also recruited local tractors. They just move to 1 kilometer, they stop 1 kilometer. But indeed, we tried to assist them so that in their locality, they can participate because our idea is that early Lilima. So everybody must participate. We have to do on top of the teams that are there. What are the other teams that will unblock bottlenecks? So we have national, that is DAF, and rural development and land reform. They are members of the province, including a member from the MEC's office. And that is general manager that oversees, who is here today, this implementation of this great program, which seeks to really eradicate poverty. They visit in all districts. When they visit a district to check on implementation, they first go to a site to actually talk to the people, see if there are bottlenecks, and then they go inside the bottom. They then discuss the challenges that might be facing that particular region or local authority in that way. So they have been rotating all the time. For the whole of evaluation of the system, what we actually do is that the region will actually produce a report, a weekly report which the MC must see. Then there is somebody who in my office continues to receive weekly reports, but they also sit at the provincial level, all the six regions, and give reports to themselves, develop it and give to the MEC's office. The MEC is able to check on these reports against the report that has been produced. Once we have agreed on various issues, then the report is a final report. ready for the portfolio committee, sent to DAF, and also sent to Rural Development and Land Reform. At that level, we sit as all MECs from the provinces, and we actually discuss our challenges in that forum which has been actually developed to support this cropping program, which actually enlarges and expands this Elilim, because Elilim is about many people, but one message, many voices, but one message. I am therefore saying, Chair,
you have to 3 minutes.
Okay, together with my technical. All right. We have been able to plow the numbers that you will see. And I am sorry that I've brought here a yellow maize that is ready to be harvested in terms of the moisture content, as well as the green one that was planted end of February, which tells us that we can plow all the year round. The goats, they are of good quality, but the ones that have been planted towards the beginning of March are not having the 16 rows we see, and up to the top, they are a little bit different, which means the yield that we'll be getting is lower. The yield, the best one, is 12 tons a hectare in the Western region. So can I honestly say this? I'm very passionate about this. I'm sorry you don't have time. However, I'll hand over to the technical part so that, the slide, then will take 2 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, honorable MCs present here today, and my respected senior government officials, I will take a few minutes as indicated by my honorable MSC just to take the committee through this presentation. A lot has been said by the honorable MSC. I will just run through the slides as a way of responding to the request from the Honorable Committee. As we have indicated, correctly so, MSC was talking about 38 million, but in essence, the total amount, including the rollover, came to 43 million, which was allocated through Elima conditional grant. And as we have indicated already, this program is attracting enormous interest in the province, as MSC has said. And we also have this allocation or this spending pattern. In the first quarter, that is the amount that was spent. And as you can see from the table, because of the seasonality of the business, that is agriculture, most of the money gets spent towards the end of the calendar year, that is the third quarter and the fourth quarter. Because in the first quarter and the second quarter, there's not much activity that is happening on the ground. So that is the allocation, and that is the percentage spent. And in total, that is the total percentage that was spent out of the total 4.3 million including rollover. These are the hectares that we put under production using the Letsema conditional grant, which is 5,695. This excludes additional intervention that was done through rural development and land reform. And these are the number of farmers that were assisted. 4,582. The estimated yield, as the Honourable MSC has indicated, in some areas under irrigation, some areas are going to realize 12 tons per hectare, which is to me a huge success. And in other areas in the eastern part of the province, we have managed to estimate a yield of 7 tons per hectare, which again is not something that we cannot brag about, because really 7 tons per hectare it's a fair amount of yield. Also, as the Honourable Minister has indicated, we have created some jobs because we believe that this program also must play a role in job creation. Out of the total number of tractors that were allocated by UDAF, as well as tractors that were purchased by the province, we employed our own drivers, as Honourable Minister has indicated, 24 drivers were employed. And in some areas where we have planted our maize, we had to make sure that that maize does not get destroyed by animals. So communities, as well as the vendors that we have appointed, are guarding against those areas where there is no fence. Because really, in our area or in our province, still fencing is still a huge challenge because of the backlog. Now, this is the response from the correspondence from the committee, Honorable Committee, which shows the spending patterns starting from 2009 to the 2010 financial year. That is how we have managed to spend this conditional grant. And really, as the Honorable Committee can notice, the expenditure has not been 100%. Among other things, as the Honorable Committee will see from the challenges, it's because of some challenges that we get from either the season, dry season, sometimes our suppliers, sometimes our tractor operators, that is our contractors. As I've already indicated, there's always been under expenditure on the Lima Lesima conditional grant. Under expenditure ranges from 19% in the first year up to 2.1% in the 10-11 financial year. So there has been some improvement going along, but the problem is, as Honorable MEC indicated, would love to finish this money, and we've actually proved that we can finish the money if, you know, some of the challenges that we experienced in the province, we can overcome. For instance, the additional funding that we got from rural development, we managed to finish another 8 million within the last financial year, but we are not reporting about that in this meeting. Some of the reasons, as I already alluded to, the procurement of and delivery of production inputs, some of our emerging suppliers are actually letting us down. We'll get an order, they won't deliver as expected. Another one, as I already indicated, the mechanization contractors, sometimes they will get a tender, but you discover that they don't have all the equipment that we need, and as a result, they don't deliver according to our expectations. And then now, what we are doing as a department, we are also considering to use term contracts, because we believe that if we can use term contracts, then some of these challenges will overcome. That's what our SM is looking into carefully, so that we can overcome these challenges. So, because we do have some agencies that are doing the same program in their various district municipalities, we decided not to do something parallel to what districts are doing with their own agencies. So we are using agencies in some areas where the agency is up and running. Or in this case, we use our own agency, ERDA, that is Eastern Cape Rural Development Agency, whereby we enter into several agreements, and then they implement the program, and then the department monitors in such areas. Roles and responsibilities, we define exactly what, according to SLA, what the agency has got to do and what the department is expected to do. And we hold our meetings. As Honorable Amir has indicated, do our checking, lessons learned, and make sure that we are singing from the same hymn. Reporting the requirements, we do report according to the requirements of the Civil Revenue Act. As Honorable Amir has indicated, we do have our own the senior manager or the national transferring officer with the guidelines. We meet quarterly, we have to make sure that when the reports are due, we send those reports, and if they are not set, we will get a hiding from our head of department. But there's no instance where we did not submit a report when it is due. And Honorable MSC has already indicated as well, we as a province, we do have our monitoring systems, we do have our NNA unit within the department, which has got units in all the districts. They've got a monitoring unit in each district. As well as at provincial level, we do have our review sessions where we sit down and interrogate our reports and make sure that what we send out of the department through the office of the MEC, to our national transferring officer, to our treasury, is something that we can own and we all understand. So in those few words, Honorable Chairperson, I would say, as the MEC has indicated, this grant has actually made a difference in the lives of our people. Also, tell you that if, for instance, we can get a little bit of a share on this, at least I'm sure it can make a very huge contribution to change the lives of our people. That's the end of the presentation.
Thank you very much. Honourable McQueen.
Question?
Yes.
Thanks, Chairperson. Just because we're very fast, doing this very. Okay, KwaZulu-Natal, this home, one home or one garden, I'm very interested in that. But how do you ensure it? Because the garden couples with water. That sources, how do you get it right? I'm seeing the one post of 18, 18, 18, 18. I think the MS is going to rectify that. I'm not going to put the question in the consent. The 18 post of your assistant there. Of these 114 boreholes, can I get the lifespan of this one? Because you find that you know when you get a borehole, you know how long will it take if things goes well. Have you taken that type of checking as to whether it is a number of 114, but how many are they which produce a lot of water? It's in Cape. Of these 72 tractors, I was happy when you came in MEC, then you try to close the gap. The problem of maintenance, because it is a national one. My question is, how many of these 72 are in a good working condition as we are talking now? And how many places where they're not receiving diesel, you know, such type of, because you indicated as a challenge. Can you share with us? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we've now got presentations, but the only province that's actually detailed how the money's been spent is my province. The other two provinces haven't really given us, I can't get a feel for where this money's gone, but my province has done that, so thank you to them for doing that. But that doesn't let you off the hook, McKenzie. Mr. Chairman, I shall therefore start with my problem, and perhaps the additional information will be regretted in due course. But anyway, I'm interested in the figures for the yellow maize, because I think perhaps you made an error, Mr. MEC. You talked about 5 tons and in millions of rand for the 5 tons. I'm not sure if I could just get clarity of exactly how many tons were produced, how much money is estimated will come in, and because I'm curious that if it's such a profitable operation, why commercial farmers aren't doing it. And in the report, there's 5,800 hectares planted with this assumed GMO genetic modified. Where are those 5,800 hectares? Because they're certainly not in Bergville or Gathamba. So that's an interesting one. The question of the irrigation resuscitation in Makatini and Bululuwana, those schemes were up and running many years ago and they were abandoned and now we're reviving them. What controls are in place to maintain them and they weren't just shone up on foot? Because that's unfortunately the history of those schemes. The food security, the price order packs, you spent 13.2 million, 25,000 households. Interesting that it's around trigger of 25,000 and not 25,021 or something like that, but anyway. But that's 520 rand, 28 rand each. What did we supply them if for 528 rand? Because that's quite a lot of money for a household. I was party to scrapping out two watering dams, livestock dams last year. That cost us 25,000 for the two. What is costing 250,000? It sounds to me like there's a ripple here. There must be huge dams. The little picture you showed us, the other one, is a normal small livestock watering dam. And you shouldn't pay much more than, at outset, 50,000 for a dam like that. I don't know where 250,000 is going. That's an enormous amount of money. The 114 new boreholes, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how many actually produced good water. But how were they equipped? Because each one was equipped for a cost of 58,000 if all 414 were equipped. 58,000 imalini ngakulu. Ngapengumpompe, bonke, for about 8,000 you can equip a borehole. What is the 58,000? I don't know. Mr. Chairman, we see, why are we going for dip tanks? Hugely expensive things, when 4-on dip is what all commercial farmers are using today. And so are we actually pushing our emerging farmers into a technology that has been abandoned because it's so expensive and it's so difficult to maintain dip tanks and get the chemical balance right? You've got to test all the time. I'm curious as to why we're going on that route. Mr. Chairman, we're still waiting for a response from Free State with regard to Frieda and all the tractors there. We have a similar situation in KZN, and I'd love the MEC to explain to us what has been done about all the equipment that he was shown us on the front page of the newspaper, the fertilizer, the seeds that was all dumped. Where do we stand with that? Yes, Mr. MEC, I'm aware of the Indali, Lapanekaya, Erosbom, Nasepeki, Nasepinga, Nyawa, Zonkelog, and Flake Central are the auctioneers there at the moment, and those auctions are taking place far too infrequently. But that's fine, because there are many other auctions where emerging farmers are selling their livestock on the normal commercial auctions. And in fact, I see the Winterton sales twice a month. I see the sellers' names there, and there are more emerging farmers now selling on the Winterton sales than there are commercial, and we are very happy about that, Mr. Chairman. We think it's fantastic, and we are supporting them as best we can. Mr. Chairman, MEC did raise a very critical issue on stock theft. I mean, it's particularly Okatamba, where we have raids from Lesotho, where the defense force was supposed to be redeployed and still hasn't been redeployed. But the issue is that the branding, which is a legal requirement, is not being enforced by your department. And so emerging farmers lose cattle, and it's very difficult to identify them. Now, packing is simply commercially unsustainable. Trackers, the little chips that you put into the animal, they're too expensive, because I mean, the animal goes to the sale, gets slaughtered, and the chip's gone. So I think that to spend R1 billion on those trackers, certainly from a commercial point of view, is a waste of money. That money should be spent on controlling the border, branding, fencing, all the kind of things that are sustainable in the long term and don't have to be repeated, because the tracker has to be reinserted on every single animal. Mr. Chairman, I've heard about the 101 garden for some years now. I've yet to see one of the gardens. And Ngiyazul, this weekend, Ngizobekhona ekuvukeni nase-8-5. Just show me one of these one home, one gardens, because I don't see them. I see tons of seed and fertilizer dumped at the old sale yard in Ladysmith. When I try and get access to them, the municipality say, no, it's out of date now, the seed has been expired, and to try and get it out into the rural areas. So I must say, the concept of a one home, one garden is good, but the point Honourable Makabela raises is you need water. And as we all know, water is a huge problem in the rural areas. But also, I'd just love to see one that is actually not just the initiative of the actual homeowner. Because there are gardens. I'm not suggesting there aren't any, but everyone I look at is the actual homeowner himself who's got in there and produced his own garden, perhaps with seed from the department. So there you are. Mr. Chairman, in the Eastern Cape, Honourable Michael Bell is talking about 72 tractors. I didn't pick that up, so I'd like to know how many tractors. 24 drivers were trained for 72 tractors. Is that the match? Then, you see, this one's more difficult because poor MEC, whatever, gave me information to ask him questions on it. I haven't got that information. And, Mr. Chairman, maybe we need to be more specific when we invite them here to say what we want out of them. But, you see, so Eastern Cape, a lot of narrative, but not very helpful in terms of our oversight role. But let me ask about agencies. You talked about agencies. Who are they? How are they established? Do we transfer funds to them and then we say we've spent the money, but the money's just sitting in an agency bank account? You talked about the using the existing agencies where they don't exist, setting up new agencies. Just I need a bit of comfort about agencies. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Eastern Cape, if you could also, you know, respond, clarify your the differences in fears between what you presented and what National Treasury has presented. Just like the way first did try to explain so that we have proper figures. How many hectares were used for planting maize, and how much was there for beans? And what was the output of that at the end of the year? And if you could give some real reasons for this continuous underexpenditure on the front in the Eastern Cape, because you just mentioned it, but you don't give the details as to why you continue to underspend. What are the challenges? Hence that particular question. If you could expand more, I'll then go back to Free State.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I'll then respond, then my Honorable MEC will conclude. The first question that was we were asked to clarify was the Mhuma Mbung program. Mhuma Mbung is a Free State-owned brand requesting farmers to go back to the land. What we are doing in that program, it's an all-inclusive departmental program that says, let's encourage farmers to go back to the land and to go and plow. So that's what Mhuma Mbung is all about, ranging from all levels of production. We are also, within this brand, saying, can we partner with the private sector? Can we partner with commercial farmers in assisting the farmers? We are also saying in this program, can we complete the value chain? Let us not only grow the maize, but can we also begin to add value in the maize before the farmer sells the maize? So we are encouraging a lot of smaller mills for processing, if in the case of maize, if it's in the case of beans. We're saying, can we add value of this product on the farm before the farmer sells, so that he maximizes the profit. So that is what the program is all about, to encourage farmers to grow and also do agro processing on the farms for marketing purposes and ease of marketing. Okay. Chair, what we are saying in this slide, we are actually saying it inclusive of the household. We manage to cover so many households, and we are not saying we've got what we call agro processing also at that level. We want them also to produce vegetables, not only to sell them as vegetables, fresh vegetables, but we encourage them also to the cottage industry, back at cottage industry for agro-processing. I think for only reflecting at that level, we could have reflected in all of them. It covers all of them, not only the households.
That makes sense. But if you target farmers to produce more maize and what. Ultimately, as individual households will benefit out of that in the market. Now, the question here is that with this grant, you are also directly targeting houses, which is almost the same like this one garden, one thing. But the purpose of that, if I do my own garden, is basically for me to be able to benefit out of that. Because I would assume it's small gardens at the back, looking at the size of our yards, as compared to rural areas where they've got pieces of land, they can make more gardens. But in a township arrangement, it's small gardens. Now, with this Momamo Boom project, well, program, how do you service this household? Well, what is it that is expected out of them? And how do you do that? Do you give them crops? That was the question. Do you give them crops or do you give them funds and all those things and all? If I'm to go to Mangau, for an example, and say, let's go to this household and show me how this program is working in all this household that you have assisted, what will I see? If I may be simple now.
Thank you, Chair. I hear the question now. What we do, we give them what we call starter packs. In the starter pack, you have a set of implements for the garden. You've got the seed and you've got the packages of fertilizer. So we call it a starter pack. It's a packaging. Water can and all those things so that they are able to irrigate. To some, we are partnering together with the Agricultural Research Council. We are doing water harvesting for them because we know in some areas there are water challenges. So we are implementing water harvesting techniques for them to be able to maximize the little bit amount of water that is available. So those are the techniques that we are bringing on board. But from this program, we provide them with a starter pack, which includes implement and the seeds and the fertilizer for each household that we have identified. There could be a wheelbarrow, a watering can, or a pipe for irrigating, shovels, and all kinds of things that we package per household. It's the same thing, Chair. It's the same thing, yes. Yes. Thank you, Chair. No, Chair. We have extension officers on the ground. They make sure whatever has been distributed is put on the ground. Although it becomes very difficult to frequently visit each household, but we do go back and check those that have got land, because we also check each household if you have got land that you can turn into a vegetable garden. Then we allocate how big is the land. Then the starter pack is allocated according to how much land can you turn into a vegetable garden. Then we make follow-ups and check on them. And we also celebrate with them because we've got a competition where we want the household also to participate. The best vegetable garden, we award prizes to encourage people to be able to do this garden. So we've got a number of techniques of encouraging them to do that. In the coming year, we are also enhancing that kind of a competition. We'll not only look at the garden, we'll also evaluate the best dish that each household is going to cook out of these vegetables that they've done themselves. So we're also doing exactly the same with the schools. We want to make sure what they grow going into the school feeding scheme, it assists them to reduce the cost of feeding in the school. We do the same also with the churches. So we are expanding it not only to the household but to the schools and the churches in the coming financial year. So those are the things that we do, Chair. Yeah, thank you, Chair. Okay, thank you very much, Chair. The next question was with regard to the sectors in Free Eden. Chair, The factors that have been indicated are factors that were allocated to a district called Thabo Mofutsanyane, that's the, in the eastern part of the Free State. And then in that municipality, let me give you a bit of a history. We received these trackers from National end of July 2012. And during that time, when we received them, they were not as yet in a state of usable because they came in batches with their implements and everything. And then they were delivered, all of them, in Bloemfontein. Then in July, they had still to be assembled. It was very difficult to put them in your plan because you had still to make sure that they get assembled, and then the licensing and the registration had to be done because it was not part of the province to do that. They also had to, once they were all done and completed and handed over to us, that was around September. And then we then had to begin within our own resources in the province, because that's one item that we had not planned for it in the year. We had then to take them from Bloemfontein and distribute them throughout the province in the different areas. Now, the one thing which was very critical for us was the safety of this equipment before we send them. So where is it going to be parked? And if it is parked there, is it a very safe environment? And then we distributed them into the district. And when they were there, we made sure, for an example, the ones that were sent to Thabo Mofutsanyane were all delivered in free at the show ground. And that is where the question comes from. Why are they there? When they were standing there, what we then did, we managed to fit a tracker in each tracker, because we need also to monitor them. Where did they go? And if one gets lost, we should be able to track each one of them. So a tracker has been done. Secondly, there were no diesel supply equipment. We had to buy about 10 diesel trailers so that you can when they're in the field, you don't have to wait for anybody to bring. So we had to go and buy within the limited budget that we had so that you are able to supply them constantly with diesel wherever they are. We had also to go and procure toolboxes, basic toolboxes per each tractor, because they did not come with the tractor. So when in the field and you have a puncher, we are able to take out the wheel, load it and fix it, so we had to supply each one of them with those things. So it became very difficult for us to use them in the year when they arrived. We have now since planned properly whilst they were standing, and the question comes, why were they standing? Because we were not in a position to use them financially. We were not able as a province. But we have since then worked them into the plan. The plan is that each one of the tractors will go to a particular municipality and will be helped in a particular municipality. We have identified the areas. As we transport them to those places, we know they are safe. They're going to be looked at, and you're going to have an official where farmers will come into the office and register their name on request, register the number of hectares, and they will be verified that this particular farmer has so many hectares to be plowed and planted. And then the farmer will be given that number of seeds and fertilizers. And then you know how long is that tractor going to be on that particular farm. So now we have got a proper tracking system to be able to release the tractor to go and assist each and every farmer on the ground. So we are quite comfortable to begin to say then they can go. Because we would have sent them, we might have lost a number of them because the systems were not yet in place at that particular time. So we are comfortable to say that they're going to be maximally utilized. As we are going to the harvesting, we'll be using them on some of the crops that has been used. We still need more because even the harvesters themselves were not part of the packaging. So we still have to leave some of this equipment to go and use our own sector to harvest the crops on the ground. So the budget is very minimal to allow us to maneuver within CHEP. But we've got a very detailed plan how we want to utilize them.
No, but Mr. Tabete, I'm not comfortable. comfortable. I hear you are comfortable. The financial year, we are not 2 months into the financial year now. Right? When last did you go to see those traders then? Yourself?
Sir, in 2 weeks' time, I was there. About 2 weeks ago, I was there.
They are still there. Not allocated. Yes. I'm telling you now. I'm not asking.
Yes.
They are still there, even as we speak now. Not yet allocated. 2 months into financial year. Yet you are saying you are comfortable with your plans, you are going to distribute. You see, what is even worse? While they were still there, the first question I will ask is, what caused National in the first place to deliver those sectors there last year? What was triggering that action? You see, they arrived there in July last year. They still be standing there. You see, the grass is growing up slowly. I mean, the state of those things are not good. You put tractors there, I mean, trackers, for something that is standing idle there. Another wasteful expenditure, as far as I'm concerned. You got diesel forward. Where is that diesel now? You got diesel that is there in whatever container, wherever it is. I don't know where it is. For the whole year, 2 months into the new financial year, those things are still there, idly. And you are saying to us, you are comfortable with your plan. If you are comfortable with your plan, you're supposed to be sitting here and say, no, at the beginning of this financial year, this is how we have distributed. You see, KZM said, we have got so many sectors, we made sure that they get allocated, and we know exactly where each one of them is, because people were forced to come and sign, and what we are trying to get to source more diesel for all these things. Something that you are saying as Free State, you are covered as far as diesel is concerned. You have purchased it previously, but it's there not being utilized. And you see, I'm interjecting because you are comfortable, and the situation does not warrant anybody to be comfortable. You see, and they are still there, those tractors. I don't know if the MEC is aware of those. They're still there for a year now. That's why I was saying National Assembly should ask, because this matter was raised in the National Assembly. And we hear people tendency telling this, particularly National. It was National at the time. Now this is a good time because both of you are here, province and National. You delivered the tractor. What triggered you to deliver the tractors to Free State when they were not ready to use them? Because that is what they are saying. They were never ready at the time you delivered those tractors. They are still not ready even now, 2 months into the financial year. You see. Yet so many farmers in the Free State are struggling. They don't have tractors. They want to harvest. They want to plow. They don't want to do what and whatever. Really, you can't come and tell us that you are comfortable. We are not comfortable. You continue to spend, put tricky devices on tractors. Why don't you the cheapest way, like the KZN has done? Know who took the tractor. If they are registered, if it is stolen, the police will do their job to find it, wherever it is. But now you have put tracking devices, if it's true, of course, on things that is standing there in the ground. They've been there even now. You see. So make us comfortable as well, as you respond. I can hear you are comfortable, but we are certainly not comfortable. And we would want you to share with us that plan. You are saying you've got a plan now as a department as to how you are going to do. When will that plan be implemented? It may now. You are busy now with the new plans. You are doing this and this and this. Yet you still have to remove something of the previous financial year. Something that is good for our people, but it's not being utilized. You might even find that some of those particular things, there some are getting stolen, some are being ripped off by people who pass there. At some point, we're even worried that people can go and take out their tires and sell their tires. You can get quite a good amount of money to sell one tire of a tractor. You see, I'm a battery. Some of those tractors don't have batteries. Also, for your information, because we went there, we took pictures, we checked some of these things, because we were worried. What is government doing here? You see? But you are comfortable as the man in charge of the whole thing. It can't. But proceed and answer other questions.
Uh, Chair, this journal will share, with the chair the plan that we have with the tractors. Chair, in Thabo Mafutsanyana, the total number of tractors that we allocated, there were 24 tractors. And the plan that we'll share with the chair in terms of the distribution, and we will make sure that they are distributed as soon as possible to those areas that has been allocated, chair. The next question...
You mean the same free day tractors you're talking about?
Yes, chair.
Okay.
Yes, we will make sure. However, chair, the rest of the other tractors are being used. Part of these tractors, which are also in free, they were being used, but they were put back to that same storage. It doesn't mean that all of them have since been standing there.
Used by who?
By the farmers in that particular area. So they have been utilized, but they have been stored in that particular place. So we can indicate, Chair, on that one. The other indication, Chair, was the number of hectares versus the expenditure per hectare. That has been used in terms of the figures of the Free State. Chair, I must also indicate that we will further supply the committee with additional information, because production input in terms of ilimalitima does not only cover crops, but it also covers livestock. I think the part that we did not supply is a part of the livestock production inputs. Which ranges from cattle and poultry and also layers. So, Chair, we'll add that information so that this figure doesn't become skewed and indicate the cropping per commodity that we spend. So that one will provide more details on that one, so that we are able to say this is where, in which commodity we have spent so much, so that the expenditure becomes correct.
Whatever you say was used for those hectares mentioned there, it also includes
livestock
and
chickens, yes. Because we had other farmers who had poultry houses, but they were not utilized. So we assisted them to make sure that they are provided with the production input to utilize those houses, ranging from poultry and layers, because they had the infrastructure with them.
But then why didn't you separate the two, or that from that?
Yes, Chair, I think it was a matter of us not consolidating it, having the time to consolidate it properly and differentiate everything.
No, Mr. Kagan, you see, to be honest, Mina, if an official prepare a report for this level, I mean, this is the highest level. You will never find any other level above this one. You make sure that you prepare a thorough and proper report. We are not told on Monday that today must be here. We are given ample time. Now, you see, these kind of things are those things that distort. If, for an example, let's make an example. Mr. Sabet, I'm talking to you. If, for an example, I'm a journalist, and then I get this report, and I don't even wait for a period for questions like this one, I go. I'll go out and say, Free State has spent so much money on this and this and this and this, and table the figures like Honorable Lee has done. You see? And they will be correct, because they will be quoting from your report. Now, you had the benefit of us asking you now. Now you are saying, the question is, if the question never was raised, how would we know that that amount includes chickens and cows and what and horses and donkeys? It can't be. At this level, you're supposed to give a report that befits this level, so that it is clear. We even save time. Now we are wasting time on these questions, because a question is being asked, you are answering, and there's likely to be a follow-up and a follow-up and a follow-up. That's why I keep on interjecting. It cannot be correct. When you have told long in advance that on this date you'll be coming here, prepare this report. You had all the time in your office, Murray. Mina, at this level, I don't tolerate this kind of things. I must be open with you. Because now he's supposed to prepare a report as well and table it in parliament. And on the basis of that report, it will be the first person who will create it is you if the media people get it. Say, no, those guys are reporting wrong things. In actual fact, there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in that particular field. Your report should not invite all this barrage of questions and clarities and what and what and what. Now, I'm even skeptical to allow you to go further, because you're going to end up and say, no. Go back and prepare a better report. Because that's what I'm about to say now.
Yes.
But proceed.
Chair, can I confirm with the chair that indeed, chair, we were informed yesterday?
What?
We got the information to come here yesterday.
No, man.
Yes.
And then the NEC was immediately available. Not that man. And then what about other provinces? Can I get the feeling, honorable members? Let me start them. Did you?
We've got our invitation last week, Thursday.
Eastern Cape?
We got the board, honorable chair, last week, Thursday.
So we said only yesterday?
No, chair. Myself, I came to know about my coming here on Friday. But I didn't confirm whether I'm coming or what, because I waited to meet with the Premier, because there was also an appearance to the pre-state committee. So yesterday we talked with him and he agreed that I should come over the side. So I knew on Friday.
Okay. So thank you. Okay, let's do this. I don't show Linda the carpet. If the NEC was aware last Friday and you only knew yesterday, something is wrong. I'll have to follow up and check. But perhaps for the benefit of proper records and clear understanding, let's then agree that you will have to send us a proper report. We'll decide as to whether we call Free State back here or we'll be comfortable with a written submission. But I don't buy that story. There's no way that the MEC would know last week and you know that yesterday when you are in charge in that office. I will move straight to KZN now so that we don't waste much time.
Thank you, Chair. I'll just respond to some of the questions and the rest I'll allow the team to deal with it. Let me start by the concern raised by the honorable member that the absent. One core problem is the province of KwaZulu-Natal is the National Department, who are stealing our officials. That is the major problem. Our head of department, Dr. Susan Mbize, is here at the National Office, Department of Agriculture. With Jamin, who is the regional manager for the North Region, is here, serving the second month. Minister Hunter was also in the Environment Affairs. She's here. There are more coming here. That is the problem. We are having this absent. We actually, I said in our last meeting, to ESCO meeting, this Hollywood must come to an end.
So they are pushing.
They are pushing, yeah. I think they must render us to cut them. So I said to our last ESCO meeting, really on a serious note, we can't run the department like a Hollywood. We go to America, we go to Hollywood. All the actors are living in Hollywood. They try to actually national are doing to us as a department. We are very concerned about that. I must just note that to this committee. Coming to the dam, because I want to deal with that, there was a Ghana work history, Collins, so we know the area called Ghana. There are a lot of animals there. Okay. The size of the dam is not the same the size of this one, depending on the number of cattle in that particular area. So that is why we find the like one we are damaging Ghana work. There were huge dams. So, and this is why then you'll find that the amount of money goes in is not like the same to the other dams. Boreholes, we've got our engineers. As the province, we are targeting to put everybody have water, electricity, and sanitation.
when you do the boreholes, our engineers then go and assess how much water underground. If you dig a borehole, how long is it going to last? So by the time we put water in that particular area, this borehole will still be able to buy time for the installation of the water pipe into that particular area. Some areas don't even try to do the boreholes. Like the area of Umkanya, somewhere there's a lot of sand, there's no water, so it's, you can't then make a bore in that particular area. And also the issue of drip tank. I'm a farmer myself on a small scale. Drip tank is more effective than the spray dripping of cattle. I just lost one of my bulls last week. When it was killed, and then we find that there were no blood. So dipping is better than spraying, because you can spray under the nose of the big like I had. So, but when you dip it, the water, because that is why they must just tap into it to make sure that the whole body is covered. So I think to us in Canada, then dipping is more important, is more effective than the spraying. And depending on the guys looking after, okay, this is lazy, or you can just go just where the top and then finish. Then you find that we are losing cattle because there's no proper dipping. And the equipment which Baba spoke about, I said in my beginning, this department, because of this portion, maybe, we could not, at the beginning, when I joined the department, everything. I want to repeat that. Say so and so, how many dams we have in central region or in Kanyabute district? How many dams we have? It was difficult to get the answer. That is why we decided just to go all out as a department. Take the regional manager, take me, I want to see my head count to count these dams, these deep tanks. Because, as I was saying, there were no proper reporting, there were no systems of reporting, depending what I think, like what we have discussed now. So we must be able to know exactly at Umkhanyabute district. That is why Premier came up with this Premier's Forum, where the local mayor, district mayor, ourselves, MSCs, to be able to report to the forum of the Premier to say, in our area, we don't have dams, we don't have drip tanks, we don't have fencing. So that's how our department, all the service delivery comes to the Umzinyaji district. I'm responsible. When this forum, doesn't matter how many schools are built, MEC for education is not going to stand up and report. I'll report. I'm the district chairman for that particular district. Prima is the district chairman for Zululand. So if I build deep tank or whatever in the Zululand, the Prima is not just going to say, Prima, no, it's Zululand, they've got so many deep tanks. He's the one who's on the report to the forum. Including one home, one garden. We are still struggling with that. Because these people, some of them, for instance, in the quarters, you go to Mongols, you go to Mbenze, you go to Far North in KwaZulu-Natal. You give them seeds, sometimes they give it to the selling to the Mozambicans. You here in Cox at Matagia, you give them seeds in exchange for Dhaka. But we are trying by all means to say, so that is why actually we had a summit of three countries, ourselves, Mozambique, Lesotho, and Swaziland, to say how do we deal with this exchange stock theft and Dhaka from KZN to wherever it comes from. So as the country, what then can we do to make sure that this does not happen? So I'm saying the one guard, there's a number of them. There are more than 7.
We've got just over 40,000.
But the population is 10 million. When you talk about 40,000 one guarding, that is nothing. Because some of them will give them, so we also train them to say, this is, you cannot eat because it's got poison. It's not ready for eating. So I'm saying we're trying as a province, but there is still a problem of one home. Like the first year test, you give them the packs. What they can, fork, feed, fertilizer, and our extension must monitor and report to the local office right up to the provincial office. The last one is equipment.
I think that one, I nearly collapsed when I quit it. When I joined the department, it was just about November, December. You know, as an MEC who was born in the rural areas, brought up until 1978, where I moved to the Mpumalanga Township, MSN. To plow and do everything, yes, in Makaya, I thought now I was put in the correct department for you and be able to perform my experience for my parents and my grandparents. We're going out taking commitments, not knowing that all the invoice for that current financial year will hold back. When I stood up on the 31st of March in the legislature announcing our projects, to find that when the money was deposited, all the invoice were paid. Out of 2 point something billion, we're left with almost 40% of our budget. With this equipment, which were purchased without an order to say, in this particular area, we need so many tractors. We need so many fertilizers. It was just a shopping spree for somebody to make money out of it. That is why then we are having a forensic investigation. These things are still there for forensic. Once I deal with them, some of them we are not even able to use them. Because not you take unless you take them to Kayabut, where they've got Mshabiyalingana, so they can use that particular tractor. But in the area where there is ups and downs, you can use it. But how much it costs? A lot of money. So we're working on this equipment which we picked up, and I'm sure that people are going to be upset. That one is confirmed because Free State, I think Free State's problem is similar to ours, but ours we are dealing with it. The problem with our officials, especially in supply chain, you can't just go and buy a bread not knowing who's going to eat this bread, which I'm buying. You can't then keep the invoice more than 30 days. When the new budget comes in, you find they are left with 10% of your budget. Even our staff, we are operating with the skeleton staff, 36%. 64% critical posts, we are starting to fill it now. We are interviewing CFO, SODs, and all the other senior posts. So that's what we inherited in this department. So I'm saying, to be able to deal with this grant at 200%, doesn't matter that they're acting. I'm very proud of these two gentlemen and their support, because otherwise we'll be embarrassed, Jefferson, that almost 90% has never been touched of this grant. So I think they will act, but I just want to say, to me, it's an honor, Jefferson, to be invited here, and also we'll be happy to invite you to come and see our project. Come and talk to our, we had some meeting now, we are establishing an advisory board for the farmers themselves, right from the grassroots level until the provincial, where we will be working with the MECs, because I'm not a specialist in agriculture. But agriculture, the farmers themselves, they're the one who knows exactly what is happening, where they're coming from. So the reporting system will be just flowing down, flowing up. So when you go to an area, you know exactly what is required by the community of that particular area. Our cooperatives, as I was saying, we've had a decision, almost 90% of our schools in KwaZulu-Natal are supplied the feeding scheme by our cooperatives. That is why I said the market for our cooperatives, they don't have to worry about the market. Government, prisons, health, education, they are big enough to supply our cooperatives. So we are not blowing, we are not saying we are doing best, we are trying our level best to make sure that our responsibility as the politician elected to put service delivers and the official to support the politician, we fulfill our mandate. So thank you, Chairperson. If there's anything left here, I'm getting emotional because, you know, when you're talking about people, somebody going to bed, wake up in the next day, going to bed with his children, Mrs. Trader is 18 months, she said to us, every day at 4 o'clock, she go and stay at the bush. Then we'll come back at 1 a.m. because she can't put anything to her children. And she will wake up at 3 to go to the bush until they go to the school. because they can't. So to me, I don't think when you're talking about issue of service delivery, it's about choice. It's not about choice, Chairperson. It's an obligation, and one day we'll stand and respond to God what powers, what we have done when we're given the power to make sure that nobody goes to bed without something to eat. I take service delivery as, to me, as something which one day I'll be judged what I've done. It's like I normally say, as an MEC, I see no ISP, no ANC, no GA, no NFP. I just see a human being which I'm put a responsibility to make sure that. That's the always I told my bishops, don't leave me to say we go to an area where the ANC is strong. What about the other people? So I'm saying, Chairperson, I'm getting emotional. So we'll invite you and your committee to come and take you to our project at KZN, then see it yourself. Or you can just tell us when you want to come. Then we'll just make sure that we'll accept. So thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. I'm sure my official will tell some few things. But I hope the National Office as well, Department, the poaching baggage, the poaching is too much, especially in my department. I'm sure we'll appoint an HOD in the next 6 months, will be at the national level. CFO in the 2 months will be at the national level.
Thank you. any additions, officers?
Yeah, I'll just catch up on those that NEC issues, actually, or some technical aspects, and just highlight some little bit more input on it. As far as the boils are concerned, we went to the driest areas, of course, first. You know, if you start, we put them in the Longoma area, and those areas where you had a huge problem. So it is not, we had a success rate of about just over 60% of useful boreholes. The others, we can put a hand pump, you know, just to it was near a dip tank, so we could fill the dip tank, and this is where it was hand pumps. But the cost of this is actually, you know, even building a windmill is about 80,000-90,000 rand today. It's very expensive, and then if you put your pipes down, your casing and so on. We have information on all the dip tanks, whether it was dry, what was the blow test, etc. In fact, I was just looking at it on my laptop just now. If required, we can send it through. So if someone's interested, you know, in KZN. And it was more in Ongoma area. We'll certainly be moving to Mzingati as soon as DAF can come bring their bolts back, after the machines back. As far as, let me see, the yellow maize. That includes that 5,000 hectares, or just nearly 5,000 hectares over that, includes not just the yellow maize. Yellow maize was 900 hectares, and the average yield that we expect this year is about 4.5 tons. It is GMO-free maize because it's used by ESA breweries, and cannot, they will not allow any maize that is cooked, that's genetically modified. So it's very special that we've done that. It was done in Amajubo, Tugela, or Kuslamba in those areas. The irrigation, yes, there was a time period where some of the irrigation schemes were just neglected. We're actually closing down Magendie at one stage, which is a public entity looking after them and doing the maintenance, and they were cut down from a budget of over 40 million to about 7.5, which they couldn't even maintain. We have since, with this funds from National and ourselves, we've actually come back and we're reviving that entity. Because most of even the underground pipes were cement asbestos pipes. They've got a lifespan of 20 years, and some of them have been in there for 25 years. So we have to go. It's not just lack of maintenance, but also the type of material used, and that we had to do this. The other thing is we had a huge problem on some of the irrigation schemes of water logging and then salination. So what we had to do was put in main canals, and you can come see it any time. It's a lot of money that we spent, but this scheme will now, that irrigation areas, which has totally gone out of use because of salination, will be used now for years and many, many years to come by generations to come. So it's costly, but and we'd like to if anyone wants to see what we've done there, they're welcome. They can see the work that we've done. The seed tax, while that amount, it includes us with others, we've got some tools, we've got some fertilizer in it, a little bit of seed, and at our, unfortunately, some mix there, but we even have tanks that have got a special way of water harvesting from the roof down and with low pressure underground places where we can store, which is quite innovative, and I think it's good. Where we can, we use a normal Jojo tank and other types. We use Jojo, but some of them are different makes. The size of the dam, yes, the average size in the excess of 10,000 cubic meters is quite big. They have full, all the dams are designed. They've got outflows left to, it's quite expensive to do such a dam, but members are welcome to see the designs and some of the dams. The boreholes, I've noted that the expense on that is quite high to fit it out. Even just a windmill is more than it's anything from 70 to 100,000. Boron, we've estimated that is true. What the member said. If you have a small number normal farm, it's good sometimes. Small, where you can use boron. Spray, as the MC said, it's very difficult. You have to use decrease and so on, especially on young ones. But if you go across a certain number of animals per dip tank, across that you use a long-acting ingredient, and it's far cheaper to do it. So we calculate that, and this is why we've got more than 1,600 dip tanks. We actually have, and we've revived many of them, fixed them. So we are using long-acting. It's not headcount methods, and I agree with the member, it can be very difficult if you go headcount under a certain, and it becomes costly, but certainly the long-acting, you don't get a loss, and you just have to look at the water that they carry out. So it is cheaper for us to use that. So we are not only, it's only about every 10th animal that will be chipped, and what we're doing is we want to deter any stock theft. What we've registered each and every dip tank now, because some members were too cattle. It becomes too expensive for them to go and pay 120 rand for the registration and the other equipment that is used for this. So what we've done, we give the first choice, you can register your own brand, and we will actually encourage people to do so. But what we now did is we've also negotiated with the registrar and brands on in-depth that we can use a dip tank brand. We've registered that. We've bought all the necessary branding items, and we'll be supplying to 42 livestock associations so that we are not seen that there are many animals. You have an auction, there's a scurry around. People want to brand the animals because they can't sell it if it's not branded. So we are going on a full process now. We've ordered. We are also looking at the ear tags that will have a two-dimensional barcode on it. And we'll have a reflecting tag on it. And so we will have quite a few ways of identification of animal, but we will also deter the stock theft. So we'll have an animal with a brand on the leg. It will have a tattoo in the ear, the same as the dip tank brand. It will have a tag in the ear, and then we'll also dip every 10th one. So we feel that will deter, you know, people will definitely be deterred to steal because those animals are traceable. Furthermore, we can do traceability and marketing in future because you will never be able to go international, especially in some of your high-value cuts, if you cannot have traceability. So with that system, can actually go for traceability as well. And we are at the moment doing that. We've taken it to cabinet. It was approved that we go ahead with it. Just to Sakumasaki, I think this is a long presentation, and I think maybe honourable member indicated that he would like to hear more of it. The system used for this is it's fully incorporated One Home and Garden into what was coined by the Premier as Sakumasaki, which is an integrated process whereby you have even user ambassadors, you have a lot of people working in the field together, and they monitor and they see that these packs are being planted, they've been trained themselves, so that you have a integrated process whereby we approach this. We've seen quite a lot of success. We also saw that, you know, giving seed, it's better to give seed, and you have tunnels. They do a nursery. That goes out far more successful. So we are slowly switching from that normal seed giving. People plant, but it's not as effective because people don't have the correct soil. They don't have, you know, it's difficult. So, and the water. So we now supply these tunnels. Those are net tunnels where they can be used as nurseries. Very effective. And we feel that supplying the seed going into a small co-op, they produce the seedlings. Seedlings go out to the people will give us far more success. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, KZM. I'm sorry we're now pressed so much for time. We're supposed to have closed this meeting at 11. It's almost 12 now, but it's still okay.
I don't know if they still require for us to be here because, as you say, our flight is...
Your flight? No, you are released. I'm sorry.
Thank you very much. But I just want to conclude by saying members are invited to come to KZN, go to the bush there.
Okay, now we'll take you on that offer. Thank you very much, Ms.
Eastern
Cape, Mama?
Thank you. I take note of limited time. You give into
no. You've got 20 solid 25 minutes. Don't worry. I was just indicating the time pressures. I know you guys have got flight problems, and we also have got arrangements. I still have MEC Kabatu also to say, and lastly with the department. So don't worry. Okay. We'll manage time.
Okay. Thank you very much for that assurance. To respond to the first question about tractors, honourable member, we did not go into detail in challenges that came with the tractors because we were able to overcome those. To an extent that we have the same arrangement of receiving tractors as like all other provinces. But we only received 62 from the national government. But we were having our own tractors, which were 12, and then that gives us 74 tractors. When the tractor arrived, they had the mismatch of course of the implements, not fitting the tractor big or tractor small. However, we tried to use other methodologies to actually put those tractors in use. And secondly, honorable member, the tractors were then taken to various districts where we are going to operate. Almost all the districts. That's why I was actually outlining which region and it is formed of what. Then from there, we had to devise means of ensuring that we deliver this. But this maintenance problem I was raising with regards to national was that it would be now double dipping, where we use our own mechanics to fix the tractors, whereas there's somebody who has been contracted to do so. So we raised this manner with using the internal processes between ourselves and national government cooperatively. For now, the tractors, most of our fleet is within the maintenance process because we are preparing for the next season. The tractors that are not in order are aligned with the process of preparing for the next season. The majority of tractors is in state space, Dogon, because and Eastern, because they engage in winter crops more than the coastline. So now we are planting wheat around state space. 200 hectares have already been planted. We are also engaging in feed stock. For example, we are planting lucerne and is it hay grass in Enob, because we have got sheep farming in deep rural areas. We're not talking about commercial farms so far. We're talking about just the hectares that are always referred to as land lying fallow. And then, so the number of hectares, I can't say they are out of order, honorable member. I can say they are undergoing the maintenance because next week our plan is that we start harvesting. So the plan for harvesting is that you maintain now what you will require because we'll use manual in the main in order to create jobs. I think that answers your question of how are we using tractors. But tractors are not fixed to those areas. If we need a tractor in Pedi, as we are now planting peas and potatoes around Pedi areas, in many areas we are planting 6,000 bags of potato seed in the whole wild coast area, in up to Islanda, Cholomna areas, because they have a season that is very favorable. In terms of the infrastructure, Chair, we did not report, honorable Chair, with due apology with my ununderstandable narrative, is that we have not included infrastructure in this report. And also the program known as Siyazondla in this report, because they are funded mainly not from this particular 38 million. It was the decision of the cabinet that
that the entire 38 million must be dedicated to eradicate the issue of not having feedstock, animal food, and also food. But with gardens and with rain, we are fine to an extent that we have more rain that actually promotes delays in actual plowing. Because when it comes, it's even raining like in summer in the Eastern Cape as we speak. Now let me move. I've clarified the issue of the trackers and the issue of how we are reporting, Chair. That our 38 million has nothing to do with infrastructure. Has nothing to do with all the other programs. We are using other available resources in order to dedicate this total amount to the production massively. So the 38 million was finished in this year, Honorable Chair. I'm confident le mali ye 38 million ye yaphela sayokhangela enye kungeyiyo yodwa I 38 million. There are other areas apho sifumene khona I funds, including private sector. Tomorrow we are having a service delivery day where we are harvesting 200 hectares that were planted by a single lady who is a businesswoman, Nomatumato Sirode, who has plowed, fenced, bought fencing material, gave it to a community in Kentani area. The community fenced themselves, then planted. So tomorrow, the service delivery day is dedicated to more business people who are going to pledge to plow in other areas because we have called everybody into the ILIMA program, LISIMA, that we are targeting 300,000 hectares. We are not mincing words. Out of the 3 million hectares we have in rural areas, we are targeting 300,000 hectares at least over time. So everyone brings, whether it's human, whether everything they have, to build on the 38 million we receive, in which case we think we'll receive more. Chair, we have not understand. If Mr. Maseben can put up there this year, put up the very presentation, Mr. Maseben. So what we are actually, we finished the 38 million. We were given another 38 million collectively by the Rural Development and Land Reform and DAF. We also finished that because of the vastness of the land that we must produce in. Can I then respond to you, Chair, on the previous years on understanding? I am appealing to Mr. Masebeni to put it up there. Because in what I discovered, because I'm also a new MEC, was that the first tractors that were given, were bought by the department, were given to the so-called cooperatives. However, it is difficult, Honorable Chair, to put a finger on those tractors. We are now conducting an investigation. There are, it's where you had farms, the people who are collectively using a farm, where you get the tractors. But some tractors were given to a group of people, and then one person was then the person to Gulonti tractor Ivalengai. And then the person who the tractor is registered, then the tractor might be stolen, the tractor might be taken by sheriff because he was owing. So that was a good lesson to us when we say, where are the tractors to build on? So there were no tractors, an investigation, that is something else. The tractors that were supposed to be delivered in the same model were 12. We then refused to deliver them to anybody and rather registered them as the government asset. So this government asset has got 62 additional tractors from our national government. That gives us 74. This now helps the LISIMA fund to 38 million to cover more land because we actually till the land, plow, without having to hire anybody. The issue of the tractor number and the appointed drivers, it is because during the other years of the Eastern Cape homeless system, there were trained drivers who were actually absorbed by the new system, but they were no longer tractors. Remember, the Ciskei and the Transkei had its own tractors and had trained drivers, and those drivers were now absorbed because they were actually employed. But the government was no longer engaging in utilizing tractors. Government was no longer owning tractors, but giving it to individuals. So those people were either gatemen, watchmen, and so on. So the other tractors, we have actually relocated those former Transkei or Ciskei tractor drivers to be now tractor operators again. So that is why we have only a 20 appointed tractor operators. The other tractors are being operated by those who were misplaced within the department. This also helps because the former Air Homelands had a lot of artisans and mechanics and engineers. So we have also absorbed those to then put them in the new mechanization process. We have actually been allocated more engineers by National to continue with this work. And let me move to the issue of why they were really understanding, Chair. The issue of tractors is that tractors were not able to assist because they were somewhere with faceless people whom we are actually seeing that the system of allocating tractors was also very flawed. You know that there's a tractor. You go to that person says, this was donated to me by government. It's written, it's registered in my name. How do you take me to court when I'm saying this is my tractor? Remember, this tractor is different to a person with no farm. It's a group of people that are a cooperative pointing out at a particular land. Now, presently, what also happened, the massive food production, massive if you remember. A contractor, a service provider would be contracted for 5 years. 5 years, ne? What that must mean? That you will supply MEC Kappa with fertilizer so much per plowing season. 5 years contract. Then the hope was those tractors which were given to individuals would play the mechanization part of it. So there was other those people, then the owners of the land were supposed to actually pay to those who have been given tractors. Hopefully government would deduct the amount the amount of the tractor after the mechanization. When we plow, the community contributes 20%, and then the tractor owner plows here and paid by government, and then a deduction is done. That did not work. Because at some stage in Mkababa, we found that a service provider has been paying, has been supplying for almost 4 years without plowing taking place. The whole package, there will be chicory seed, there will be chemicals to treat, there will be a land to dress, there will be all types of fertilizers and seed, but nothing was taking place. But when we actually investigated, the people were saying, we don't have the 20%. Those people have been given free tractors, they won't plow here. The other issue, I have been signed a contract, I'm supplying whether you plow or not. This now, that's the reason of many reasons. There was actually expenditure, but there was no impact or output. Learning from the three lessons I have spoken about here, what we have done, tractors are no longer given to individuals. They are actually belonging to the department.
They are utilized by the department. They are managed and monitored by those people who receive their service. Like I said, the team will include the traditional leader, LED counselor, ward committee, and the owner of the field. On the other side, we actually buy the diesel to do that. And lastly, Chair, and lastly, we have not understood. The other issues that caused understanding was the idea that you stop in December. They say when you plow anything, plant in January, we are late. In February, we are late. We have undermined that notion because there is also an opportunity for winter crops. There is also an opportunity to start in the coastline to plant in October. This we have done. And you also asked about the maize and the maize and the beans, sugar beans in particular. We have not totally compiled the yield. What we have been doing, Chair, is a team of researchers from DONI, the research institution, and our department to go and check the moisture content as a plan so that when we harvest, we know that it is totally acceptable. Umbona umile awuzubona. We have actually done estimates of the yield that is going to be there per hectare. And in the western region, where we have got 90 hectares, because in most areas we dedicate ourselves to 1,000 in an area, 1,000 in a village, 1,000 in a village. So where we are expecting in terms of scientific estimation that we'll have 12 tons per hectare in all those hectares. The plan now, say, is that we are going to give them amatanks, the smaller nyana soy silos that are traditionally used. We are avoiding the plastic ones, but we will have mobile silos. Because we also as government are determined to buy from those farmers. The law allows us to do so. Government must buy 30% of the farmers' produce so that we can actually redistribute it by selling it cheaper to areas where we have not been able to plow. I can honestly tell you, Chair, 5 kg of yellow maize is now costing our people 50 rands. They go to an extent of buying 50 kg, they put it in the ranch, then they bring smaller in a plastics, then they put it in the 5 kg, 50 to 5 kg. This can't be affordable to the rural communities. So all the yield we have, we already want to assist by harvesting. No one will harvest without this government support. There's too much to do. Many hectares have been plowed. Two, there's also the issue of a means of production. I'm a tractor to take the yield this side and that side and to take it to actually store it and process it, which we definitely are ready to do, Chair. Because we have an agro-processing, very big one, that takes at least 2 hours to finish 50 tons. It was provided by the European Union. So we're working on that. So totally, I wouldn't agree to say it is really a narrative without comment. And also the issue that these other years of understanding, reasons are clear. They stopped the earlier, thinking that they cannot proceed. They actually forgot about the winter crops that do very well in inland. And lastly, the issue of the service providers and contracts in the model that was being used. So now that is gone. We are on top of it. But please give us more. Because if we finish that 8 million and another 8 million and other funds from our side, it means we need at least a billion for the 300,000 hectares, please.
Official, 5 minutes. Taking 20
minutes. No, no. But really, there's not much that I'm going to say. MSC has covered, Honorable MSC has covered almost all aspects of the questions that were raised by the Honorable Committee. But I just wanted to give clarity to the honourable member about the agencies that he was asking about. Really, honourable chairperson, we are not establishing any agencies, but in order not to duplicate what the district municipalities are doing, because our municipalities have got their own agencies, and these agencies, because of the rural nature of our province, are actually among other programs, they've got ploughing as their program. So what we do as a department, instead of doing our own ploughing as a department, and they do their own ploughing, because when the people out there, they see government, they don't see district, they don't see department. So we decided to call them under one roof so that we can plan together. We don't transfer any money to any agency. Instead, they claim for the work that they've done on the ground. And then our officials check that work before they are paid by the department. So each district municipality, we sit down with them. Do you have a development agency that is doing cropping? Yes or no? Then if there's none, then we take our own development agency, which is an amalgamation of our former Uvimba Bank and our former Artisa Eastern Cape, which has then resulted into Eastern Cape Development, Eastern Cape Rural Development Agency. So that is our only agency that has been formed by the department. So I think that's about what. Oh, okay. Now that this one, really, I think there was a question from the Honourable Chair around the inconsistencies with the figures. I would imagine that because it's the same report that we send to our National Transferring Officer as well as to our National Treasurer. Maybe we need to look into our figures. But as far as other expenses are concerned, there's a little bit of confusion here because there are two 38 millions we're talking about. There's a 38 million that we were given by Development of Rural Development and Land Reform to match up what we had. So then that one, we actually spend it to the last cent. But the Tima one, there's a little bit of invoices that could not pay because for one reason or another, our contractors submitted invoices very late. So that's where we have that under expenditure.
Can you then meet with National and sort out the issue of the figures and maybe give us the correct figures? Because as it is now, the figures we have and the figures they have are two different figures. Thanks for the explanation on this other 38 million the MEC was talking about. It was not this grant, it was from the other department. So if you can sort out this one of, let's say, with Treasure and give us proper figures now. Thank you very much.
I hope the chair will not hesitate not to tell us to go in any area where you are requested to be part of the harvesting. From now until October, we'll be in the field harvesting. So please, we will get the goods and the overall day. It will be enough for all members. We are very welcome. President does that. Deputy President, Premier, we are all going there tomorrow. Those who are absent in the team will be bishops, kings, all of us. We go harvesting. We're starting with the private sector now, 200 hectares. It must be finished by our own hands.
So you actually would invite us, Emily, that's what you're saying. Okay, no, that's the second invitation of the day. We appreciate who will attend, we'll find ways, even though we don't go, all of us. But once we get that invitation, we'll see which members we send. Thank you very much. Your discussion with National Treasury, it can either take place now or whatever, but we want that report in 5 days from now. In fact, before Friday, it shouldn't take you long. Mayor Kabat.
No, thanks, Chair. Our sincerest apologies for a report that was not well structured. The committee requested a report on Ilima and Zima, but we included everything, not just Ilima and Zima, but I think maybe it's because the Ilima and Zima was also used to complement other projects like the HOD when he was reporting, that you had some broiler houses that were there within the province. And because they were not utilized, this money was also used as an intervention on those such boiler houses. But our apologies for that, Chair. On the trackers in Freddy. I believe that we are here, and when we are here, because we are here to be helped and to help, you know, government and parliament in general, but most importantly to help the communities to access what government has intended for them to access. I would accede to the fact that there are traitors in Freddy that are standing there not being utilized. I was on the city on Sunday morning being interviewed about those traitors, and they made me aware on Friday that I will be having an interview with them on Sunday morning. So the best that I could do was to send the employees of the Department of Agriculture to go and check the allegations that are leveled against the department. And indeed, there is one tractor where a battery has been taken and tires have been taken. The loss is up to 7,000 rand. It's one tractor. The rest are still there, but like the HOD is saying, 24 are deployed in Tabomfuzanyan. The rest were to other districts. And we are beginning to utilize them in other districts. I think the challenge is in Tabomfuzanyan. But we are working very hard to resolve the challenges that we might be having. I think, Chair, what is a challenge? As a new MC, when I came into the department, interrogating the whole tractor implementation process, one realized that maybe we are using a method that is more expensive if you have to put them at one end there, and if they are needed in another end, how do you take them, how do you, you know, all those things. So when the HOD was talking about a plan, it's because when I came in, we developed a new plan of ensuring that in terms of utilization, there will be more cost-effective, there will be more accessible, and over and above that, we also talked about having tractor clinics within different municipalities. We would go and assess all other tractors that are standing unutilized, and if they need to be repaired, that they be repaired in order to complement the sectors that we got from National, which are 72 in total. So in terms of the household budget on Ilima Lizim, of course we are dealing with home gardens, we are dealing with school gardens, we are also dealing with open parks within communities where you find that there were parks that they are used for now littering and all that. We have a program where we are trying to say, let's clean up those parks, let's rather plant on those parks. I want to respond to the issue that was raised by Honorable Member in terms of the water issue, in terms of households. What we are doing now, we are on a roadshow to talk to our communities to say, when we say backyard gardens, you are complaining about water that is not there and all that, but when you go into your yards, you have planted flowers and whatnot and you are watering them. So we are encouraging them to take the food gardens from a backyard to a front yard, and that they must beautify their gardens with vegetables. And going forward, like HOD was trying to explain, we also realize that we need to make our communities to compete so that they be that edge, you know, to want to do these gardens. So we are introducing what we'll be calling a clash of the churches, a clash of the schools, and a clash of the homes themselves, where they'll be competing about the most beautiful garden, but also the garden that is being handled in a manner that is water saving, in a sense. And we have partnered with one person who, when we visited his project, we realized that with a 2 liter of water, he can water 3 different products, and using a recycled material on that project. So we are going to partner with him in order to expand that to different communities. Chair, we have also been encouraged by one community member from Kwakwa. Kwakwa, not your rural part. Kwakwa is a township. When we visited in Kwakwa, we were taken to this one community member who, when he realized that he didn't have enough space to plant on, he went into the whole street and the backyard, the back street, to talk to about 12 households to plant into their backyard. And a pick and pay was taking spinach from that member. So those are some of the things that are saying there are ways of doing these things. We can't be complaining about anything. And these are the methods that we'll be using in terms of going forward. Chair, I want to really say to the whole committee here, apologies again. We will, when going back, improve on our planning, improve on our spending, improve on tracing the yield, because it's not just about spending. Tracing the yield and comparing it with the spending patterns that have happened, and we will improve on our tracking mechanism. Thank you, Chair.
You see, Mr. Tabete, the report you requested, may I also request that you submit it by Friday? The notices for this meeting went out on the 13th of May, and last week on the 17th, it was just a reminder on the change of time, because we had to change the sitting of the meeting from. The notices that went out on the 13th of May were saying this meeting will be starting at 10 o'clock. Only last week, Thursday, we communicated to say the meetings will start at 8:30, not 10 o'clock anymore. So, that's what I wanted to confirm that for the record. But perhaps this is one reason why most MECs are not able to attend. We'll have to send notices and follow up with them directly, telephonically, to say there's a notice that I've sent to you. Please follow up with your officials so that there's no confusion about that. National Department of Agriculture, what and Fisheries.
Chairperson, thank you. I'll talk briefly to the mechanization program issues. But in the quest of improving the household food security and working towards the 1 million hectares of unused land, the national government through the department has capitalized, and the intention was really to capitalize the mechanization towards that number of hectares. And the hardware or the equipment that were purchased, which has since been transferred to the asset book of the provinces, have been procured. And this is done within the cooperative governance of the concurrent function within the sector. And the understanding was clearly that the national department will provide a framework for the provincial departments, but the various provinces would use their operational model, because the various provinces already had some mechanization units, and the intention was to increase that so that more area could be covered. And there was no desire at that stage to prescribe for each province in terms of standardizing how this mechanization program worked. A framework was provided. But in this, it's becoming clear that there are problems. We are refining the model. And the mechanization, I'm sure, Chairperson, you would agree, goes through the basic teething problem that the calf, the Ilimali Jima, over time went through. We're trying to refine and close these gaps on a number of issues. And we would provide the refinement, Chairperson, at the stage when this assessment is fully completed.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. I'm not sure if there's still anything left on our members on our side.
Chairperson, through you, I would like to ask through you, Chairperson, the National Department submit a written report to the Chairperson here in connection with the performance outcomes since the beginning of the grant in 2008-2009. We want to see how did it go so that we'll be able to see please.
Okay. You got the point, Moran. You had the number.
Yes, sir. I believe he's referring to the Ilimalichima.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes, we've taken that.
My close of business this Friday. Agreed. Thank you, Moran. You'll seek it all now. Yeah, thank you very much, honorable members, officials. I saw the officials who arrived from Northern Cape. Oh. We are sorry, but we have received an apology from your province. We are not expecting. We read the apology at the beginning of the meeting that your MEC is out of the country. I think he landed only yesterday, according to his letter, or to the letter from Mrs. Mutise on his behalf. So it's not that we are ignoring your presence. We'll invite you in the next round of the provinces that we're going to call, and the apology of the MEC has been accepted. If there was a communication to the effect that Yuli Kami would have made sure that you also present. But thank you very much for coming. I'm sure you have had the deliberations. It will also help you in preparing your report to be almost what you want. And I wish to thank you, Honorable MECs, for attending with us, because as this committee, we make sure that we listen mostly to provinces if they are accompanied by MECs, because you are the ones accountable to us, and officials are accountable to you. So in your absence, we usually send them back. So thank you very much for honoring this meeting. And I think from me, which is something that is shared by other members of the committee, is that there needs to be a real look on this one family, one garden campaign. Because they are, quite frankly, I have never seen some of these gardens as well, wherever I go. And we know the challenges of water in quite a number of provinces. And for this to be a successful thing, you need water. I know challenges of water in my province, challenges of water in a lot of dorpies in Free State, for an example, challenges of water in the Eastern Cape, and so on and so forth. So the only province that seems to have a huge supply of water that passes our province is Gauteng, with the Hoda Lesotho Highlands water pipes going straight to Gauteng, so that they even supply Botswana and them. So I think going forward, the MECs and the national minister and the department somehow will have to, will also make our comments on this food garden program. And at some point we'll have to assess as whether we are succeeding in that particular program, so that we don't just talk about something that we know that is not, because it was targeted to help and alleviate the effects of poverty in those poor areas. But you go to those poor areas, really, you still don't find people, including schools, which traditionally used to excel when coming to issues of gardening. I remember when I was still at school, we would plant and compete and even at certain points go and sell our produce in the township, something that is no longer happening. Very few schools have got these gardens, and they've got big yards in the schools. And surely communities would want to play a role in that land or space in school yards is utilized for this. I'm saying not all schools, NC. Or they still, the community is. Okay. So I think as we review some of these grants and programs, we need to put our focus also on these food gardens things and see what best model can come out of it. Thank you very much, honorable members, for your time. And thank you very much, honorable members. Have nice, safe journey back home, and we'll see you next time. And this meeting is adjourned. I thank you.